Commissioner Brewer. Okay, we're going to have to go a little bekitzer now. We're up to Simtaftan Aleph Sif Yud Bet. It says, Kol HaKelim Tzarech LaHagil Yidosein Kamosam. All Kelim, you have to kasher the handles just like the Kelim. Why do you have to kasher the handles? So the Mishnah Brewer said that there are two reasons. He quotes the Achronim. One is because often chametz splashes on the handles. As you know, if you cook, in the end, the food ends up falling on the handles, or you touch the handles with dirty hands, etc. And the second reason is that if the metal kli, we say chametz also cham kulo, the handle also gets hot, and then the bliya goes all the way into the handle, as we mentioned, in if it's all one piece. In Simon Kachof Aleph. Okay, so we have to kasher the handles. As our mother, Mihu, Lo, Gilo, Yadu, saying lesser, the Evid, Philo, Hadgilo, Halagil, and the Irish Maralayim. However, if you forgot to kasher the handles, then the Evid doesn't make your food trafe if you use the Kli. Then it doesn't make your food trafe if you use the kli. Again, it doesn't mean that if you forgot to kasher the handles, then you can use the kli. No, you have to go back and kasher the handles. It just means that the evidence, if you forgot to kasher the handles and you use the kli, it is, if your food stays kosher, your food stays aseptic, and you can kasher it through Eroy, since the main chash of the handles is that something splashes on them. Likewise, if you just pour hot water on them, that is good enough. The Mishnah Brewer points out some, what's the logic to Ramah, that the evidence is okay if you forgot to kasher the handles and use it anyway. This can happen. There's some people who are just not so educated. They don't know the halacha, they forgot to kasher the handles, so bid the evidence, their food is still kosher or pesachic. Why? So the Shabbos says there's two chashos. The first chash was maybe some chametz splashed or spilled onto the handle. And he says, but we saw this klal already. We don't assume it. Maybe it happened, but we don't assume it happened because if we don't know that chametz splashed on it, then we don't have to assume that it splashed. And B, the chash is that maybe the glio went through the pot. Through the handle, but we saw the Ramban Sim Kochav Aleph, who says, just like it got absorbed through the pot into the handle, if you kasher, it'll come out through the pot from the handle. Like we saw in Kochav Aleph, and therefore, B'dievet, it's okay. However, the Mishnah points out, since the reason it's okay, B'dievet, is because we assume that nothing splashed there. We're not Masik Isser. Therefore, if you know for sure that chametz, hot chametz landed on the handle, then even b'dieved, if you didn't kasher the handle and you used the kli, it's still a problem. So this is only min hastam b'dieved smotah. But if you know the handle got directly chametz stick and you didn't kasher it, then even b'dieved, if you use it for food, it is, makes your food chametz stick. Yud gimel. Kli sheyish bo tlai. Tlai is a patch. So there's something else stuck onto the kli. So there are two cases if the tlai was there first, meaning first there was a patch on the kli, and then you cooked chametz in it, you don't have to take off the patch. So what he's saying, there are two cases. One is, first you patch your kli, and our kli don't have patches so much. Maybe something can be stuck onto a kli somehow. If first you patch the kli, and then you cook chametz in it, then you can kasher it with the patch, because just like it absorbed with the patch, you can kasher it with the patch. The Magen Avraham says, but what if inside the patch a crumb of be'en got in? Hagala doesn't get rid of be'en. So, if you're talking about a tlai, kodem b'liya, then we say kibolo, but the problem is, what if there is a little be'en stuck under the tlai? So here you have two options. Magen Avraham says, do libam kal on the tlai to get rid of any be'en. Or the Mishnah Brura says, if there's no crevice, then it's okay. Meaning, sometimes something can be patched very well, and there's just no crevice for anything for any crumb of it to get stuck underneath it. So if it's a very tight fly with no room for anything to get stuck underneath it, then you're fine, just doing it all left. If there's a fly and there's a little space underneath it where something can get stuck, or there's a crevice that the end could get stuck, then you have to leave a cow to get rid of the end. Continuing. Then cosma blis eshel fly. What if first was malei eser? First you used it for cutting and then you patched it. Tzarech lahasher fly kodem agala. Then you have to remove the fly before you do agala. O yosin gechol magal fly. Or put cold when the fly is that she start with the iser until you burn away the iser. Do in yeso if there is do bimoy. Achar magal call the kli and then do agala the rest of the kli. What is So what I'm saying here you have a fly achar blia. First you use merkavit, then you put on a patch. And what does the Shulchan Aruch says? You either have to remove blia, remove the fly, or libun to the fly. Why? What's the chash? What are we so worried about? So the Mishnah here brings down a machlokas about this. What's the problem? Is why? What's the problem? The chaver sounds like the problem is he says gufa isram yeshno. The machaber sounds like the problem is that there might be the N stuck under the fly. There might be the N stuck underneath. Because first you cooked it, then you patched it, so there might be the N stuck under the patch. And therefore, what's the solution? According to the Machaber, the solution is Libun Kal. That gets rid of the N. The Magen Avraham is more Machmir. The Magen Avraham says, no. The problem is more chomer. The problem is the blia. The blios will not come out because of the fly. Why? Because you cooked in this and the blios went straight into the pot. Now you patched it. The patch blocks the hot water from doing the hagola. The patch blocks the hagola. Because the fly, which blocks the hagola. If you're worried about a fly pat block nagola, then says the Magen Avraham, you need Liban Chomer. Basically, the Chomer of the Magen Avraham here is this really Machlokes Rishonim, the Rosh and the Rashba, is that if something absorbed without a patch, you can't do agola with a patch. The patch will block the agola water.
What's the patch made of?
It's not metal. So the Mishabur is Machrier and Sukkot and Ayin Vav. He says Achrav the Mishnah Berurah, that if it's Eino Ben Yomo, you can make it like the Machaber. If it's Ben Yomo, you have to be Machmer like the Magen Avraham. Since we generally Kasha Kelin are not Ben Yomo, therefore even if something has a patch, it would be enough to do Liban Kal on the patch. You would not have to do Liban Machaber. And continuing in the Mechaber, he says, V'yemu shaleitz, what if it's a wooden kli that was patched? And now, you obviously can't do Liban to a wooden kli because it'll burn. So, remember, according to the Mechaber, we pass like Kimenein Ben Yomo, what's the problem? Might be some ends, the ends stuck under the patch. So let's say you patched a wooden kli, and there might be some the ends stuck under the patch, but how do you get rid of that end? Hagala doesn't get rid of the end. And you can't leave it to a wooden cleat. So in the Tagalog, Yarkva said that Kol Kashikulhotsi Mishamash Vasoko, you have to, wherever there's a crack, whittle away and widen the crack so that you can clean it properly. And then, of course, you ruin your cleat a little, but that's the only way to fix it. Says the Ramat, Roshim Shosma Umnim. You see, this the big chash here is cracks and crevices. That's also the big chash for a lot of our modern day pots. You know, we don't patch our pots, but sometimes with the handles attached or other things, there are little cracks and crevices that the end could have snuck into. And then it's a problem because you either have to leave under those cracks and crevices, or you wouldn't want to like widen those cracks and crevices by like whittling away part of the pot that wouldn't be worthwhile, ruining the pot, or like unscrew things if you kind of separate them and clean the cracks and crevices. Hagar roshim shosim ha'umdim b'socha kilim b'otzla hilim e'achsha otzim e'chadosh v'yinakar meitev. sometimes the manufacturers make a little engraved like stamp with their name on it or some other information about it inside the kalim. And they make that when it is brand new, and that's not a problem. The assumption is that the way the manufacturers make their stamps, it's cleanable, so you just clean it very well.
This might be similar to the case of patch. A lot of times you have a frying pan, and the handle, which is made of material, is screwed on.
Yeah, if the handle is screwed on, this is similar in that there's a crevice in between. And gook gets stuck there, and it often does, because it always overflows and whatever. So then you would have to either do libun to that crevice, assuming it's all metal, and you know you can do libun kal to that crevice, or unscrew it and clean it well. But you can't do avela anything that has a crevice. Usually most things with handle attached have like a little crevice in between. They're not attached to that tight. Although every case, if the handle's soldered on, that's one thing. But if it's screwed on, it's often not attached so tight. And then you have to either do, like we learned here, according to the Mechaber, either do libun or figure out a way to unscrew it and clean and screw it back. Yudala, kisu shal barzim chasbo kdeira, the metal cover that you use to cover your pot, sar hagala, needs hagala. Why? Because it's absorbing steam and it needs hagala. Because it gets the steam, the condensed, the water in the pot boils and condenses on the pot cover all the time. And what if you forgot to kasher your pot cover for Pesach and you put your pot cover on your Pesach, the food that you're cooking on Pesach, kol atav shel aser, then it makes all your food chametz stick. A pot cover is me'ikra din. If you use it without kashering your Pesach, it makes you for chametz stick. Shezei esar kisav zar betavshel. Why? Because we all know what happens. All the zeya goes up, condenses on the pot cover, and goes back down, and then makes your food chametz stick. Tesva. Kisav shel barzim shimos o alai chabrorik shen yafes. Alakira, a metal cover, not used for liquid things like pot, but that you put on a loaf of bread or cake, that you put on baked goods when they're baking on the stove. Sorek liba needs liban. Since it's not used for cooking, but it's used for baking, it needs liban. Why does it need liban? Why does it need liban if it doesn't touch the food? So the Mishavura says it does touch the food. When you cover, you have a, it probably sounds like some, you know, maybe some sort of Dutch oven or something. There are these things that you bake inside them, and they have a bottom and they have a top, a cover. Even if the cover doesn't always touch the food, the cover often touches the food. Let's say you're baking bread and you have a cover. So sometimes the bread shifts this way, the bread is all the way on the side, it touches the cover, and that's why you have to do libun, because it touches the food while it's baking. The interesting question of, what about the relation between your dalet and tesvot? In sif your dalet, we're talking about cover of a cooking pot, and you needed hagala because of the zeya. In sif tesvot, we're talking about the cover of a baking pan, and it needs libun because of negia b'lechem, because it touches the bread. What about the Zeya? We learned also about the Zeya from bread. So this is Chazar from part of our discussion with the
Tikkur of Moshe.
With the question of Hagala, this is a big machlokas. What about Zeya? There's a Das Yachid of the Bach here. There's a Das Yachid of the Bach here who assumed that Zeyas Ochlin, Yevashin, requires Liban. Zeya of dry things is more common than Zeya of wet things. Zeya of dry things is considered dry baking and needs Liban. That's a big cover. There's a big rule of the Prima Gadim that we saw quoted in the Rav Moshe. It says Zeyas Ochlin, Eina Zeya, and it needs nothing. Only because Zeya, it doesn't need any kasher at all. Zeya Volton doesn't count. Remember, we saw that quote in our Moshe. But the mainstream, Psak of the Acharonim, was that if there is Zeya from dry foods, it needs Hagala. So when it comes to the Zeya of dry foods, we have three opinions. The Bach is a super duper chumra based on a line in the Torah, which may or may not have meant this. that the Zeev Ochlin counts as dry, even though it's sort of funny and steam, and it would be, you would, whatever the Zeev Ochlin reached would mean Liban. That's not accepted. The Prima Gadim is a big cool. Zeev Ochlin doesn't count at all. There is no Dinim Zeev Ochlin. Zeev Ochlin doesn't exist. And therefore, if the Zeev Ochlin reached to the something, it doesn't need coppering at all. The major opinion is no, the Zeev Ochlin is a kind of gravy, because Zey is steam, and steam is like a liquid. So if the Zeev Ochlin touches a pot cover, it would need Hagalah. And that's the basis of the Achloksim of Moshe, the Minchas Yitzchak, about our ovens. The Minchas Yitzchak says, so in our ovens, we cook Ochlin, they have Zeya, so our ovens need Hagalah. And Rav Moshe says, no, if there's Zeir from Oakland based on the Ramat and Simon Kofches, then it would need Hagalah. But usually there isn't Zeir from Oakland, so you are okay. Okay, now, Tes Zayin begins with some very specific halachos about sharp things. This is really starts from a Gemara. The Gemara says that cold things, things used for cold chametz, don't really become chametz thick. Right, you take a sandwich, you take a peanut butter sandwich, and you put it on a plate so it doesn't make the plate chametz thick. I'm not talking about our modern day kitchens where you take a peanut butter sandwich and put it on the plate, and then you leave some scraps of bread on the plate and wash it with hot water, so maybe that's worse. But stop, you put a cold sandwich on a plate, it doesn't make it chametz thick. Here he's talking about, the Gemara says, but a base sa'or and a base charoses. Base sa'or is where you keep the sourdough. Right? You know what sourdough is? You know what sa'or means in the chumash? Right? Sa'or in the chumash, chametz and sa'or. Chametz is leavened bread, like our regular bread. And sa'or is sourdough. It's like the yeast you use to make your bread rise. But nowadays, the yeast we use, if you ever see your mother or your wife bake challah, is just some like chemical that they manufacture in a factory someplace. But the kind of sa'or the Torah meant was sourdough. What it is you just let a loaf of bread rise too much, it becomes totally fermented, it becomes completely sour, and now you like chop into 100 pieces, and each of those pieces is yeast that you could use to make a batch of challah. And when you use up 99 pieces, you take the last one, and you make a batch of challah, and you let it keep rising without baking, and become overly fermented, and then you have another sourdough. Okay, that's sa'or. Base sa'or, the place you kept your sa'or, since sa'or is very, very sharp, like sour taste, and the ikar of chimatz, it had a very, very strong bleed of chametz. And base charoses. Don't imagine anything to do with our modern-day charoses. I'm not getting to the question of the relationship historically between our modern-day charoses and Chazal's charoset, but it seems pretty clear in the Gemara that their charoset was a very sharp kind of dip that they would use for meat. It was a much more sharper kind of meat dip, their charoset. And now, obviously, not at the Pesach Seder, Chas V'Shalom, but all year long, their charoset had flour in it, so it was super duper chametz in a very sharp fashion that would cause a very strong blee of chametz. Obviously, they didn't put flour in the charoses for the Pesach meal, but charoses was not a ritual dish for Pesach in those days. Charoses was a general dip that they had, and was one of the things that was required at the Pesach Seder, but all year long they would make chametz to charoses, and it was very strong. So, the Gemara says, those have a very, very, very strong absorption of chametz. So, here, the Rishonim say the same thing applies to meducha. A meducha is a mortar, right? Remember they used to chop with mortar and pestle? That's like a big bowl and like a crusher. So meducha is, the maduch is the pestle, the meducha is the mortar. So that would get a very strong absorption of chametz. Why would it get a very strong absorption of chametz? Because they would often chop in there mixtures of chametz with very sharp spices. And therefore, it would cause a very sharp absorption of chametz. So it's like the baked sa'or and the baked charoset. So, meducha muteret b'hagalah, v'im hi gedolah. So, you need hagalah. Here you have we'll get back to this machlokas. Meducha needs hagalah. V'im hu gedolah she'eino yachol lachnisa v'yoreh. What if it's too big? They would have big meduchas in those days, also sometimes for crushing a lot of spices. It was too big to fit into your biggest pot. Then, meishma mayim rochim, machsim socha eim rotachas, v'olor ticha b'chol svasa. You would fill it with hot water, even though now it was only cliche, you would fill it with hot water, but you would put in a boiling or white hot stone, and that would make it as hot as a kli rishon, and then it would also boil up the water. You would fill it all up with boiling water, even though it's only klishemi. You would put in the white hot stone, that would make the water boil over the whole thing, and like rise over the whole thing, over the top, and it would also make the water as hot as a kli rishon. The chokhi again, then we go to kli rishon, and that counts as hagala of a kli rishon. Okay, the Bir Halacha deals with here, remember we mentioned it, not going into the details, that some of the Echronim says, well, this trick with like the Eben, the Lubenis, the white stone, doesn't really count as a kli rishon, only when there's other studim. Only when there's other stuff in Mahakel, such as this Menducha, that we're not exactly sure what its status is. Okay, that we're not going to get into the details. Says the Ramah, though, Yesh Machmir Lavin HaMeducha, this is not just a Machlokzat Meducha. This is Machlokzat the Gemara. The Gemara says the Beit Sa'or and the Beit Haroset. Things with very sharp coming taste need to be kosher. How? So the Machab, Machlokzat Rishonim, the Machaber says Hagala, and the Ramah says Livon, the Yesh Machmir Lavin HaMeducha, Ach, believe in colder than Yeshua, the Kashmir called Sagi, but however, since really most Rishonim hold Hagala is good enough, therefore, and it's more of only a Chumra, so Levon Kal is good enough, meaning just a little Levon Kal, so that the outside, the coals inside, and the outside straw would burn. Vinogin Lavin Lachachila, and our minutes do Levon Lachachila, me, Sagi Levagalim, Ain, Bo, Gumos. However, if it doesn't have any cracks and crevices, then theoretically, Hagala would be good enough, or B'di'eved, Hagala would be good enough. And if it's wood, if you can't do Livon, then that's like B'di'eved. And then it would be good enough to just whittle away one layer on top to get rid of all the crevices. And then cash it with Hagala, and that would be good enough.
The sif of the Dulfa is only because what the things that they used inside to crush, it has nothing to do with the very strong milk of the sakina. Therefore, now at times, the people have the things that they crush, and they don't have to put bread, so what's the difference?
Ah, okay, good. So first of all, let me mention two things. I don't want to get into all the details here, but I just want to mention three details. Number one, the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Achronim that since we do Hagalah and you know, it's army. They found it was very hard to do Levon for Meducha. They did Hagala, and Hagala is like a little bit of a compromise. It's really better to do Levon. Therefore, they said the best minhag was to do Hagala and to crush all your spices before Pesach, not on Pesach. Why? Because before Pesach, we still have Keter Mevayim and Yomo and Bittul B'Shishim and maybe even Nafar Naft, even though we don't normally pass that way, etc. So that was the minhag in the old days in Europe. They crush their spices before Pesach. The other point that Zeb points out, which is in the Magen Avraham and in the Mishnah Berurah, is that this is all assuming that you crush chametz with spices in your meducha. What about if you would have a time period and the meduchas were only used for pure spices? Then, says the Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham, then of course we're more meichel. We still have to capture them because we weren't very careful to make sure the spices, like, were not contaminated, and because we weren't careful to make sure the spices were cut with a chametz knife. But still, since there's no actual chametz in there, then for sure you can feel comfortable doing Hagalah if it's a meducha that you don't actually use for chametz, you only use for spices. But it still needs Hagalah because, A, you weren't careful to keep the spices from contamination, and B, because you might have cut the spices with a chametz steak knife. Okay, there's a lot more details, but I'm not going to get into them now. We're going to go on to Yud Zayin. Hadaf she'orchel lo kol hashana. The daf, the board that you make your challah in. You make your challah on all year long. Meaning, you know how you ever see someone make challah? Right? First they have a kneading bowl, where they knead it. And then, what do they do? That's the next line. What's the next line say? The kneading trough that you knead in. So you have a kneading bowl you knead in, and then you take it out of the kneading bowl, you put it on a flat surface, and you make it into the shape of the challahs and let it sit there and rise. And then you bake it. So both the kneading bowl where you knead it, your chametz stick bread all year long, and the place where you make the challahs into their shape and let them rise there, the tzricha hagala needs Hagala. Why? Because since that's where you put in the yeast and make it rise, Therefore, we're choshesh that maybe that would have a very strong chimus, because that's where the bread is actually rising, and it might make it chametz stick. V'lo mahani ba kilo v'kli umnas, and says the Ramah, it's not enough to just scrape off the top layer with a professional device. Likewise, that's the rule. Anything that's hagala, you can't just scrape off the top layer, because things that need hagala might be chametzik through and through. So you have to kasha the whole thing. But the minag ashkenaz is bechlal not to use the kneading bowls and the surfaces where we let our bread rise all year long, and that is the proper minhag. There's a bit of machlokes exactly what the problem Ramah was here. Why wasn't good enough to do Hagala? So some are going to write, like for example, the Taz says, because they always had cracks in them, and therefore it was hard to clean out the cracks, and that's why Hagala wasn't good enough. And the Ron says no, because he's machmir like a meducha. He says it might have had such a strong leavening on it that it gets so absorbed with chametz, even cold, that it requires libun, and you can't do libun because they were made of wood. So, okay, Lamaisa, without getting into details, for one of those two reasons, Minhag Ashkenaz is we just don't use the kneading and the bread forming and rising kalim on Pesach. We just put them away with the chametz. What?
You can never get it clean.
Okay, that's what the Taz says. You can never get it clean. Yudchet. Hanapa. What is a napa? That's the sifter, right? The flour sifter. In those days, I don't think it means they sifted flour for buns. I mean, they sifted flour because they processed it in the processing of flour, right? They didn't get it all pre-ready-made in a supermarket like us. You have to sift the flour to get out the bran and this part and that part, etc. So the sifter, you have to be very careful to cleanse it for all the little pieces of chametz that are stuck to it, which gets stuck and stuck. All right, my vocabulary is not so good. Which get attached and stuck in the holes of the weave of the sifter. You can imagine the sifter has like a gazillion little holes, and you have to be exceedingly careful with it. Not only that, also in the wooden, right, there'd be like a reshet, and then there'd be a wooden rim. So if you get stuck where it's attached to the wooden rim between the weave and the reshet, and then in each hole of the reshet you could have of the netting, you know, of the sifter, you could have something stuck. The shops will remind you of yafi. They scrubble water very well. Food in the shark clay, Alicia. Likewise, for all the other utensils you use for kneading dough, shashishra and ikr got the important principle to scrub them very well. Add the Ramah, as will probably not. I'm surprised you. There's a lot of details here, which I'm not going to get into because once you read the Ramah, none of it's relevant. Add the Ramah. The nagash lulishan shanapa, the agalabi in the shadows. The meaning is we don't use the sifter even with hagalah because it's impossible to clean a sifter. And one should not deviate from that minhag nowadays, besides the fact that no one sifts flour on Pesach because we don't bake matzahs at home anymore. We buy matzahs from a factory, so we don't even need a sifter on Pesach. But even if we didn't need a sifter on Pesach, we'd buy a new Pesach sifter. It's impossible to clean. And likewise, anything similar. Here we're already getting to things which are more relevant to us. So that's like a no-brainer. Anything that we use for making the bread that has tons of flour and gets stuck here and there is a no-brainer. I'm not getting into all the details because we just have a little plug. However, he says, this is relevant to other things. Likewise, anything similar to this, you want to please go to ribeisen, like a hand grater. A ribeisen is a grater. I'm sure you've seen a grater, right? That you could do with potatoes or cheese or something like that. What's unique about a grater? It's not nearly as bad as a sifter, but also it has a lot of little holes. And it's hard to get them all clean, and I've seen with my grater at home. It's hard to get all the holes, make sure all the holes are clean. And not only that, it's also like a napa, it's attached to a frame at some point, and it's hard to get in between the frame, like it's a metal thing in a plastic frame, my ribeisen at home. It's hard to get in between there. So they're very hard to clean, since they're a moth. Likewise, anything with a lot of tiny little holes, our minig is just don't use it for Pesach, buy a new one for Pesach. You can't trust yourself to clean it properly. The holder of the mill, like when you mill, then it goes into a little receptacle, and that was very hard to clean. All these, even a gold doesn't help. We just can't use them at all because anything with a lot of different parts is very hard to clean. Likewise, baskets are used for chametz. Baskets have a gazillion little holes. Can't possibly clean them. Dina kanapa, they're like a sifter. Okay, so all these things, basically anything with a lot of little holes, is a no-brainer. We just don't use them at all. Aval sack in Yishanim, but old sacks. What about sacks? Like, again, in those days, the sacks were used for transporting flour, right? So you transport the chametz to flour. You want to transport the matzah day, the pasted flour. Nogam and Hector, then we're the minig is to be mocked to them. Like the kibos, as long as you launder them. But you have to undo the stitches before you launder them. Because laundering won't help where the stitches are, because chametz could be caught in between the stitches. So you take out the stitches, right? The sack is two pieces of cloth stitched together on three sides. It was simple in those days. You rip apart the stitches, you put them in the laundry. The laundry cleans them, even though they have a million holes. Laundry has a way of cleaning out the holes. That's the point of laundry. And then you sew them back together, and you can use them on on Pesach. It points out the Mishnah Berurah from the Achronim has to be a good laundry with agitation and with hot water and with detergent. That's the mucker, by the way, of forget about sacks. We don't use sacks, and just buy new sacks. If you're a matzah factory, you buy new sacks for you to stop bothering kashering the sacks. But tablecloths and towels and such like that, how do you kasher them? So we paskin, you can kasher them by doing a hot laundry. It doesn't have to be boiling point. In Israel, sometimes they have ones that get very hot. But even in America, where your laundry is known you're the boiling point, that's okay. For fabrics, we have masorah. The way to kasher them properly is with a hot laundry, not a cold laundry, with detergent and with agitation. Now we have days we have washing machines, so it's a lot easier to do these things. And that can kasher them. And that can kasher them properly.
We have to worry about the contents of the detergent.
We do not have to worry about the contents of the detergent. The contents of the detergent are totally pasul me'achilo, so they're not chametz.
These last two sifim, based on chaf bet, because here they're talking about a certain deal that we didn't learn about yet.
Correct. That is absolutely correct.
A little out of order.
It's a good question, and I'm not sure Yeshal Ayin, but not for now. And he's pointing out this all comes to the Gemara, Beit Zohar, and Beit Haros, a lot of these things, meaning all these things were used just cold. And yet, because it was like an ikar chimutz process, or very charif, chamutz or charif, then it caused a bli and cold, which really is based on a sif later. Why did you go out of order? I'm not sure.
Also, the Shabbat points out here there's a court for covering shells. Is that above?
Ah, okay. That's a very nice point, although it'll come up later again. That is like, I'll bring it up later. That's a very technical thing that I don't want to get into in Sadifah. Okay, your test. Haracha shakor pala. That's, remember, the baker shovel, the merade, right? The thing you stick in to take the pizza out of the oven, or to take the matzah out of the oven, if you ever into a matzah bakery. Yesh omer she'ein mo lahagola v'tzarech liknos chadasha. Right, and we pass the yesh omer, we pass that way. Hagola is not good enough. If you take out pizzas all year long, then how do you take out your matzah? Hagola is not good enough. Why? Because it's used for baking. It needs libun. And therefore, and they were made of wood in those days. So you couldn't do libun to wood. So therefore, you just have to buy a new one for Pesach. And that's how we paskin. I mean, not that anyone used the pizza bakery for matzah bakery nowadays. The matzah bakery has their own everything. They have their own building. But if you would want to just kasher the pizza oven and turn it into a matzah oven, and you would have a wooden thing for taking the pizzas out, Hagala is not good enough, you need leave one, and you can't leave into wood because it'll burn, so you just have to buy a new one. There's a big discussion here, Agav, in the Nosikalim, Magen Avraham, and the Taz. First of all, there's a big discussion, what if it's the Evid, you accidentally use the Chametz Dei Merada? Okay, we're not going to get into it. There's some people have a minhag that even the Merada from the Matzahs last year, even though it was locked away in a closet all year long and never touched Chametz, you have to buy a new one, and you can't use it for Pesach because it's Chumrah de Pesach. A new merada every year. There's a big machlokas achronim, whether that's a proper minhag or not a proper minhag. The Magen Avraham says this is a proper minhag, the Taz, the Mishnah Berurah says it isn't. L'maisa, I think the minhagim of modern day matzah bakeries are that they have their cake and eat it too. They just make the murad of metal instead of wood. Everyone knows, you go to the matzah bakery, they use a wooden thing, they use a metal thing. And a metal thing, you can do leaven to, so they just do leaven to it, even though last year it was been Pesach the whole year, they do leaven to it as a chumrah, just stam a minhag, to do leaven, and then they are yotze without any problem.
Those who defend the minhag say that because there's a small hashash that maybe you was comments on one of the things you
invoked
or something?
It's not 100,000,000% clear exactly.
What else would be the reason?
Okay. What?
Maybe that's to do with the Shema. Like, you have a solution. Yeah. Okay. If you didn't make something new during the
okay. Yesh la'ayin, but we're not going to get into it now. We're going to go on to Chaf. Chaf. Hashulchanos, and this is really what Jason was looking for before. Hashulchanos va'tevos. Shematzimam ochlin. Tables and counters, those shulchanos. And tables are like shelves that you, and pantries that you put food in, kalashan all year long. How do you kasher your counters and your tables and everything else? What's the worst thing that could have happened? Again, we don't mean here, like, I mean, you have to be practical. I don't mean the shelves in your pantry nowadays. No one puts a hot food anywhere near your pantry. The shelves in your pantry nowadays, you could just wash with cold water. But let's talk about counters and tabletops. Counters and tabletops, we keep hot food on. Now, you're not supposed to put hot food straight on the counter or the tabletop, but says the Mechaber, sometimes soup or hot food spills onto the counter or the tabletop. Therefore, if the Mechaber sticks through Iroi, right, it spills from the Plevishon onto the tabletop or the counter. So you kasher through Iroi, so the way to kasher countertops or tables is by Iroi, by pouring boiling water from a Plevishon onto the counter or the tabletop. That's the psak of the Mechaber. Now, a few issues come up here. First of all, the Mishnah Berurah Kuf Yud Gimel says what I just said. This only applies to places you ever put hot food. Like in our pantries, where we never put hot food, so you don't need to do Iroi. This is talking about a place where you put hot food. You need to do Iroi. Like counters, tops, and tables.
Hot food without a pot?
No, even with the pot, but sometimes it spills.
No, but the problem is the food, not the pot.
Correct. The pot, there's no bleed from a pot to a table. The problem is that it, over the year, it's down at least once, no matter how careful you are. Okay, there's a big machlokas here. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Kuf Tes Vav says, quotes from the Magen Avraham, who says, no, it's not enough to kasher your countertops and your tables. You have to cover them. This is a big machlokas on Hayom HaZeh. Why did the Magen Avraham say, kashering's not good enough, you have to cover them. Why do you have to cover them? Ah, because they're made of wood, and the wood is like nailed together, but in between the boards of wood, there are crevices. And Haggalah doesn't get rid of the bin and the crevices. So the Mishnah Berurah in Kuf Tes Vav makes a pshara. What does the Mishnah Berurah say? He says very simple. If you have countertops and tables without crevices, then Haggalah is good enough because there are no crevices. He says, let's say it's one piece of wood, your whole tabletop. Then, like many of our tables, then Haggalah is good enough. But if it has crevices, then Haggalah is not good enough. You need to cover them. So the reason, one reason why, you ever see nowadays, the Shulchan Aruch says, what do you do with tables and countertops? You kasher them with Iroi. But nowadays, sometimes you see people covering their counters and their tabletops. One reason they cover the counter and tabletops is because they're chod, because maybe they have counters and tabletops with crevices, even though it's not so common nowadays. And then you would have to cover them because, remember, Haggalah gets rid of Bliya, doesn't get rid of the bin and the crevices, and you obviously can't do Liban to your countertops or tables, because that'll break them. They're not made of materials that withstand Liban, and therefore that's one reason you would have to cover them.
If you cover them, does that mean you don't have to Magil them?
That is a... That is a great question. The Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham sound like even when you cover them, if you only cover them with something very, very flimsy, then it sounds like you should kasher them also. But if you cover them with something more serious, what is the Lashon? One second, let me find the Lashon. I'll take your question in a second. Of the Magen Avraham says here, Yes, the yosim smartutim aleim la'achar hagola ve'cheinogin. So he says you should do hagola and cover with a cloth. That's what the Magen Avraham says, and the Mishmur says he's talking about one of the crevices. So you do hagola kasha, and the cloth keeps any chametz in the crevice from getting into your food. And he's talking about after hagola. However, nowadays, many people kasha their counters. Sorry, they cover their counters not just with a cloth. Many people cover their counters with a, like, a very solid kind of covering, right? Like, I mean, they use all different kinds of solid, more serious kinds of covering. So if you use a more serious kind of covering, and there's really, like, if it's just a cloth, then you know what? When you spill things, it just goes into the cloth and it touches the counter, etc. But if you cover it with something more solid, then you don't really need to kasher it before you cover it. Then it's more just a chumra bialma. But many people in Israel, they kasher and cover it. Why do they cover it? Well, we haven't listed all the reasons yet. Why cover counters and not rely on Hagala? There are three reasons. One, maybe there are crevices.
You say even if they're on wood, you say.
What?
You say even if they're on wood.
What do you mean?
Our counters are wood nowadays, mostly.
And therefore?
And therefore, the whole issue of having crevices maybe wouldn't be an issue.
Well, it depends if it's many pieces of wood or one piece of wood. Obviously, our tables are not made of many boards of wood nailed together. They're a flat piece. So crevices are not an issue. But if there would be crevices, if there are crevices, but you're right. Nowadays, crevices are pretty uncommon. Maybe if you have, like, very old, run-down kitchens where, like, the pieces of the shayish are starting to come apart, etc. Maybe, who knows? But that's one possible reason why people would cover their counters. And you also have to kasher your counters. If you cover them well with something very strong, that's like its own kli, then you don't have to, but it's a chumrah that many people do to cover it, kasher them and cover them just to be on the safe side.
A lot of people have tile tables, and the tiles oftentimes in between have something that's probably something similar to kli charas.
Aha, okay. I don't know if a lot of people have tiled tables, but that's not important. Mm. The second reason is...
Isn't the shayish by definition crevices?
Why?
It's not
easy.
No, the shayish itself.
Just because it's not even doesn't mean crevices. As long as you can clean it well, something's not even. If something's a little wavy like this, I clean it very well.
In tables, I only use the tablecloths. They're not just to use different tablecloths. You have to have kasher.
So you should probably either, because the tablecloth is very flimsy, so lachori should either kasher it and put a tablecloth, or at least put an extra layer like plastic and use a tablecloth. That's what some people do. Anyway, the second reason why many people cover their tables and counters and don't rely on kashering them is because not everything's made of kasher materials. For example, a lot of things are made of formica. You know what formica is? It's like, it's this. It could be solid colors, it could be like fake wood colors. It's just like pressed wood inside, like not authentic, real wood, just like processed wood. And they cover it with this plastic coating that's plastic. And the minhag of Rav Moshe is from Moshe, and many people, kasher plastic for Pesach. So if it's for Mike, which is kind of plastic, you can't kasher it for Pesach. So a lot of things are just not a kasher material, like plastic, meaning the minhag that we have for Moshe Feinstein is not the kasher plastic for Pesach. So therefore, you can't rely on the kashering. That's why you have to cover it. Other things are also unquestionable, like nowadays in Israel, they have these granite counters. There are two types of granite. There is actual pure marble, which is called shayish, and then there is, I don't know how to say Ibn Kesar in English. Basically, there's like pure marble that's actually just stone that's like quarried from someplace, and then there's like processed to look like shayish, but it's really just made of like ground up stones. What? Does granite mean like the processed one? There's like natural stone, and then there's processed to like look like stones. And the kind that's processed to look like stone is a big machlok saposkim whether you can kasher it, because it's not clear exactly what category it falls under. Because it's made of crushed stones, so maybe it's like stones, but maybe since the stones are, which is kasher both, but since the stones are crushed, so maybe it's like cheres, because you crush things and then put them together, and that's the way you make pottery. And because it's held together with a lot of glue, and maybe glue is like plastic, it's a new material. So lamaisa, certainly if you have formica, for example, formica, which again, some poskim say you can't kasher plastic for Pesach, but that's not our minhag. Formica, or they call it Caesar stone, that's Evan Kesar. But there must be another word for it. Also, like the fake kind of granite, those are not kasherable materials. What? Called Evan Kesar, Caesar stone in Hebrew. So some counselors are not kasherable materials. Even the pure stone, so some counselors are not kasherable materials, and therefore people are choshe, that's not shash. That's a good reason why you couldn't kasher your counselors and use them naked. You'd have to cover them. The third reason why...
Is this some discussion between covering and hagala? Is it either or at the end of the day?
So, if it's... let me be very clear. It's either Hagola and use your counters, your actual counters on Pesach, or cover them, and if you cover them with something solid, then it's like a chumra to also kasher them, but it's not necessary. Okay, so here are your two options. Obviously, a lot of people like to have their counters on Pesach, right? So if their counters have crevices, then they're stuck. They can't use their counters on Pesach, they have to cover them, and if they can kasher them also, that's good. If their counters are made of non-kasherable materials like formica or Caesar stone, according to some poskim, it's machlokes of poskim, then you'd have to cover them. What if your counter is made of pure stone or metal? Some people have metal counters. I think that's very fancy. They have like stainless steel counters. I'm not sure. It's very. It's also industrial. I think it's also fancy. So what if you have stainless steel counters? They're obviously kasherable. Or what if you have real stone counters, which are kasherable? Then, and let's say they have no crevices. So you're like, oh, I have stainless steel counters, no crevices, it's kasherable. Is that so pashut? So you still get into a machlok zaposkin. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Kuf Yudalit has a famous chumra in the name of the... In the name of the... Kuf Yud Dalid Mahariwal. Mahari? Above is Mahariwal. What's the chumra of the Mahariwal? He says like this. He says, who says Iwer is good enough for your counters? Sometimes you drop a hot piece of deli roll on your counter. A hot piece of deli roll is a dover gush. And we learned a dover gush counts as a kli rishon. So it's as if your counter was used in a kli rishon. So he says, you need hagaala bikli rishon. Of course you can't do that to your counter. So meaning Evan Milu Bennett, right? You have to eroy with a white hot stone to make it a kli rishon. Why? Because of Bliya Midover Gush. Maybe not just soup spilled on your counter. Maybe a piece of hot bread fell on your counter, or a piece of hot deli roll landed on your counter. And then absorb points for Midover Gush, where Machmer Midover Gush is a. Where Machmer than a Midover Gush counts as a Kli Rishon, so you need not go in a Kli Rishon. You can't put your counter in a Kli Rishon, but you need to use an Evan Milubenis. Since it's a big pain to kasher with an Evan Milubenis, that means, like, as you're pouring the hot water, you move a white hot stone all over your counter, so it'll make the water extra hot. That's a big pain, and I think my Rebbe would not be a fan of people who are not trained moving white hot stones all over their counters. White hot stones are really hot. So therefore, that's another reason why people would cover their counters and not rely on koshering, because according to the Mishnah Berurah, according to Mari Weil, against the Mechaber, Iwer is not enough. You need Evan Lubenis. And here we have a big machlokes, basically. The Mechaber and Mestamah the Ramah, who doesn't argue here, right, says Iwer is enough. But the Mishnah Berurah has a chumra from the Mari Weil, they need Evan Lubenis. So halacha l'maisa, therefore, clearly the safest way is to kasher your counters also, just to be on the safe side, or to cover them very, very well. and to cover your counters, and then you don't have to get into any of these three issues. You don't have to worry whether it's cacheable material or not, you don't have to worry whether it's crevices or not, even though usually that's not a big worry, and you don't have to worry about the chomer of the Mari Wild to use an Evan Lubenis. However, those who have counters made of kashrut material, who the minhag ha'olam, however, is not like this Mishnah Berurah. However, the minhag ha'olam is lahakel, like the mechaber al yidei lahakshir al yidei iroi. The minute of Olam, this is even what all the Kashrut agencies say, is that if someone wants to kasher their counters and use their counters on Pesach, they don't like covering their counters, they want to use their beautiful counters, and it's more convenient, and it's made, and it doesn't have crevices, and it's made of a kasher material, like real stone or metal, or whatever, if you paskin that you can kasher Caesar stone, but that's not so pashut, then you can be maker like the Mechaber against the Shabrura. Why? Because it's very, very not pashut to keep this chomer of the Mari wild. Because A, we learned that most folks don't hold like the Rama against the Marshal. That really, a Davar Gush is only a chomer to treat it like a Kli Rishon. It's not likely Kli Rishon. It's just a chomer to treat it like a Kli Rishon. So number one, it's only a chomer to treat it like a Kli Rishon. Number two, even if it is a Kli Rishon, it's Ham al Gabi Tzomnein, hot deli roll on cold counter, so maybe it's only Belay Kdei Klipa, and if it's only Belay Kdei Klipa, then Iwer should be able to kasher it. And number three, and even if you say that a Davar Gush is a Kli Rishon, and it's Belay more than a Kdei Klipa, still, that's only Miyotash Misho that you drop hot Davar Gushim on it. And we possibly Ikra did follow Ruv Tashmisho. And therefore, there's many sudden lahakos against this Mari Wild, so whoever wants to be makel against this Mari Wild has the right to do so, and that the minhag olam in many places that people kasha their counters to a Haggadah. However, you certainly see why you would be more safe covering your counters in addition to kashering them, or instead of kashering them, and you cover them very well, and that way you're on the safe side.
You've seen people use counters on Pesach and Rukka?
Yes. And I've even seen mainstream kashrus agencies in America in their Pesach guide say you can do it. I cover my counters, but okay. Okay. Chaf Aleph. Chaviyo shel cheresh enosnon shechar sa'orin mutar b'hagala o b'iroi gimel yamin. A cheresh barrels that you keep beer in, seishif sorim is beer, beer is obviously chametz. So, if you keep the beer in them for a long time, they're kavush in the beer, so they absorb. So how do you kasher them? Either through Hagala or through what's called Iroi Gimel Pa'amin. What is Iroi Gimel? What does Iroi Gimel Pa'amin mean? It means that it's a new type of Hagala, or it's a sort of kind of Hagala. If something absorbed through cold kavush, through just holding cold liquids for a long time, like these wine barrels, you never put hot beer, you put cold beer, you just store them for a long time, and they absorb the hot beer, the cold beer, I mean, you can cash them through Agala, or you can cash them through Bolo Kapoto. Just like they absorb through Kavush, you can cash them through Kavush. How do you cash them through Kavush? You, Iroi Gimel Yamin means you fill it up with water to the tippy-tippy top for 24 hours, let the water take out taste, pour it out, do it again a second time for 24 hours, take out more taste, pour it out, do it again for a third time, 24 hours. By then, you'll have captured it completely, and now it's kosher for Pesach. It's unclear what the svar for 3 times is. There is one day in the Rishonim we mentioned that says maybe kavush is 72 hours. We, of course, possibly kavush is 24 hours. So why isn't one time good enough? It's a good question. It must just be some mesora that some things you need to do 3 times to undo, even though I'm not sure why.
And that trick also works for the last day.
We'll get to that.
Just getting back to the covering thing. The whole thing about people covering shelves in a refrigerator is just a chumra.
What about covering shelves in your refrigerator?
Put your cups and plates.
Okay, so covering shelves in a refrigerator is actually a little tricky because sometimes people do put boiling hot things in the refrigerator. Or at least hot things in the refrigerator. But a hot pot of soup in the refrigerator.
They shouldn't.
They shouldn't, but they do anyway. So anyway, refrigerators, if you actually put hot food there, then it is, you know, might be really a requirement. Even though you're never going to put food in your fridge, you only put kalim in your fridge, and kalim aren't baleya, so it's more of a chumrah to cover the fridge shelves. The shelves of the stam cabinets is for sure a chumrah, because you could just wash them, and that's good enough. So that's a chumrah to cover the shelves of the cabinets. And even the shelf of the fridge is probably a chumrah, because A, you don't usually put hot things there, and even if you do put hot things there, usually you don't spill hot things there. And if you did spill hot things there, you don't then on Pesach put your hot food there. You only put pots there.
Also, it's like the epitome of Tesach Gevar. Like, it's cold everywhere.
So really, you don't have to cover these things. It's a chumrah that people cover these things. Just why do they cover these things? Mostly just in case they miss the speck of dirt, then they'll have covered it. But if they have crevices, then it might be more of a requirement to cover them. So it depends. If they have crevices, a requirement to cover them, because there might be specks of chametz in the crevices, which will stick to your food on Pesach. If they don't have crevices, then it's just a chumrah.
Just to clarify, nowadays, even if there's crevices, does it still suffice just to put a cover and not to put a
cover? Nowadays, if it's like just shelves, then for sure it suffices to just cover it, because you're not going to put hot food there, etc. For counters and tables, you should either do hagala and cover it with a flimsy material, or you should cover it with a very strong material.
You have like a wood table?
What do you mean?
Like a wooden dining table.
That you're going to cover?
Yeah.
So if you're just going to cover it with a tablecloth, then I would either... things spill on the table, right? The table could become chametz thick, and if you're just covering with a cloth, that's not so pushy. You spill hot things that go through the cloth. So you should cover it with plastic under the cloth or something more substantial.
But hagala wouldn't be damaged.
No, you don't have to do hagala. Certainly not on things that will be damaged, the cloth.
I just wanted to mention one thing. I remember Rabbi Brander saying in his year of Pesach and Moayim that if you cover things in your fridge, you have to be very careful to make sure that you don't disrupt the airflow. So something's freeze and then something's spoiled.
All right. That is true. These things are very complicated. Okay. As the Ramah, V'hagolas chavis yasi derzeh. Said, how do you do hagola to a big barrel? Obviously, you don't put it in a pot. You can't fit a barrel in a pot. How do you do it? You lav it avon v'yisime behem. You get a lot of stones white hot and put them in the barrels. V'yarele roken, then the klivishon, then pour water from the klivishon. But when it lands near these white stones, it'll become like klivishon. V'gadol l'chavish, and you have to turn the chavish. V'gadol l'chol makom, so that the agol and the stones will reach all parts of the chavish. Obidyeved, okay, so that's how you kasher barrels. Again, nowadays we don't kasher barrels. Obidyeved, nothing and yayin of vash lagal, rachid dikon hate, tchila, motulishos, manu, bepeset. But obidyeved, if you put Pesach like wine or honey there without hagala, it was just clean and you forgot to hagala, then it's okay. Because the, 1 second. Because it'll be no sin tam lefgam. Because beer into wine or honey after 24 hours no sin tam lefgam. However, says the Mishnah Berurah there, says that's only if you store it there before Pesach, and there's a heter no sin tam lefgam. Like this Ramah doesn't mean as much as you think. What he means is if you put Pesach thick wine or honey before Pesach, then it won't become chametz thick because the beer will be no sin tam lefgam. But if you keep the wine or honey there into Pesach, then it keeps getting obliged during Pesach, and on Pesach for Ashkenazim, those Tam Lefgam is usher, and then it will become chametz thick. So therefore, this Heter Ramah is not as big as it sounds. Okay, there's a lot of other details, so we won't get into them. I'll just mention one detail that's in the discussion of Mishnah Berurah here. He says two things. A, he says the Heter Nosen Tam Lefgam doesn't apply to whiskey barrels and containers, because whiskey gets better with age. And B, he says, there's a big chumrah for whiskey bottles that, no matter how much you kasher them, is an extra strong blia because of the sharpness of the whiskey. And as long as they smell like whiskey, they're not kashered. As long as they smell like whiskey, they're not kashered. You have to like cook them with special detergents and chemicals to get out the whiskey smell if you want to kasher them.
What are those?
They're talking about kalim in general. They were probably talking about cheres and wood in those days.
They store the whiskey.
Oh, our shot glasses don't smell like whiskey. But if you empty a bottle of Johnny Walker, it'll smell like whiskey. No, it only means for a long time. Okay. Chafes. Kol HaKelim. This is a more general halacha. Kol HaKelim Fiusel Cheres. Neshtam Shem Chomet Tassoni. All Kelim, even Cheres. If you only use them for cold chametz, mutl sham shem matzah. They never became chametz thick, and you're allowed to use them on Pesach, because if you only use them for cold chametz, they never became chametz thick. Chutz mi beitzah or beit chavrus, except for the beitzah or beit chavrus, because since they have a sharp leavening of chametz, then even cold it makes them chametz thick. Sha'af al pishol sham shem chametz al tzoni, even though you won't use them cold, asul sham shem matzah b'cham, you can't use them for hot food on Pesach. Okay, so here's the principle. If you only use it cold all year long, it's not chametz thick, unless it was used for beit sa'or and beit charuses, for sourdough and charuses, or we expanded it to meducha for spices, or we expanded it to the kneading bowl and the board where you let your dough rise. All those things have a strong power of leavening or sharpness, and therefore they become chametz thick even cold.
So I was wondering, for example, like a toothbrush,
Toothbrushes are actually tricky. They certainly don't absorb, because you never put hot water in your toothbrush. The tricky part of toothbrushes is that they're hard to clean, because they have a lot of little bristles, and pieces get stuck between the bristles. You probably could clean the bristle. Like, theoretically, I bet you really could clean a toothbrush really well if you wanted to. The minute is to buy new toothbrushes, because they're very cheap anyway, and that way you don't have to worry if what's stuck between the bristles, because it might be more like a sifter, because it has all those bristles. So that's why the minute is to buy new toothbrushes, because you don't know what's stuck between the bristles. What if you're stuck in a desert island and you only have one toothbrush? Maybe you could clean it very well and make sure there's nothing stuck between the bristles. I bet you could, but that's not what we usually do. I mean, how expensive are toothbrushes? What?
Many people go to desert islands
with Tesla. Okay. Now, let's review this. This is a very important sif. Let's review again. If it was only used for cold chametz, then it's perfectly kosher. Unless it was used for cold chametz when it was in the middle of the leavening process or something very sharp, and then it becomes chametz thick and you can't use it hot. Above the tzon, the niyav and matzah for your mutter. But you can't put cold Pesach the food on it, because if you put cold Pesach the food on it, nothing happens. Of course, they're going to find out that Hesher is only ba'arai, not mikveis. Right? So with ba'arai, you put cold Pesach the food on it. So if I'm just eating a cold matzah on Pesach, and I have a clean chametz to clean, ba'arai, I can put on that clean chametz to clean, because nothing will happen to me. However, this is a big chumrah, which doesn't apply to us, because we don't bake our matzah at home. You can't knead the matzah dough on these things, because they have like a hidden whiff of chimatz in them that will make your matzah dough become leavened in less than 18 minutes, and will ruin your matzah. Okay, nowadays we never need matzah at home, we buy it from a factory, so it's not a big deal. Chozav lo agola. This is all true if you don't do agola. Aval yidei agola, afilu beitzor v'chavros mutare imeinim shel cheres. But through agola, you can even, remember, the machaber svardim say, what level of kashas beitzor v'chavros it need? Hagola, remember that was the machaber. Through agola, you can even kashar beitzor v'chavros it, unless it's cheres, because you can't do agola to cheres. But of course, you can never do Hagol for Cheres. The Torah was testifying that Hagol doesn't work for Cheres. No, that's how we interpret Pasuk. But it comes pretty close. Vafilu lo nishtamishim chametz el betzomei. And even the Beit Sa'or and Beit Charoset, even if you only use them cold for Beit Sa'or and Beit Charoset, lo yishtamim behem matzah, you shouldn't use them for matzah. Afilu tzonein. Here there are two girsas. One girsa says afilu tzonein, and one girsa says elevat tzonein. Okay, so let's review for a second. I'm Aaron. Let's review this for a second, because it got a little complicated.
This is as long as it didn't get.
What? Well, you keep solids in it, not liquid, so it's not really published. Oh, you mean the haroset is liquid, right? Correct. Yes. So let's review for a second. If you used it absolutely right. Okay, let's go back for a second. If you used
for chametz. How to use for chametz. If used for chametz hot, then that's the rest of the simon. How do you kasher? Remember, liban, hagalah, this, that, that's the whole simon. How do you kasher things that were used for chametz hot? What if it was used for chametz cold, kavush, right? Cold, but you let it, the chametz soaked there for 24 hours. That was si'if chafalef. If it was used for a kavush, you need hagala or iroy gimel yamin. What's our sif about? What is chafbed about? Hold, not kavush. This is if chafbed. What's the din? So the din is this. Is, it's going to depend. If it is cheres or other material. If it's other material, if it's not beit seor and beit haroset, then it is not chametzik. If it is beit seor and beit haroset, then it needs hagala, according to the Machaber, and it needs liban, according to Ramah. This is a big machlokas hakronim. Why did Ramah argue here? Remember, his sheet says that a beitzer and beit haroset is liban. So it's, why didn't he say so here? Lamaisa, the Shabur Paskas, even though he didn't say so here, he relied on what he said earlier that it's liban. What if you have a what if you have a cheres clean? What if you have a cheres clean? And it is a beit seor or a beit haroset. So we say it is not kasherable. It is not kasherable because it's not going to withstand liban, and hagolah is the work with the cheres. And therefore, there are two gerses here. It's really two gerses in the Gemara. Not going to be shown in the Gemara. Whether this is the not kashable, and either usur even for cold, or some people are so machmir, or usur for hot, and mutter for cold. Be'arai. Right, there are two yourselves where there says usher to use elevatzoni, you can only use it for cold by, or you can't even use it for cold by rye. Keres says the beit seor is so full of chametz that it'll even affect, even though we're not sure how, cold food that you just put in it, you put a cold piece of matzah or a cold piece of herring there, it'll even affect it. Okay, however, none of this lemaisa because we're in the nogu alma. The minhag is this is the din. But cheres in the minhag is all play cheres are always usur for anything. The minhag is all play cheres that were used for anything in chametz. We don't use it all. Full stop. No conditions. But in the nogam v'lusham tzvizl money parchet tike. Nowadays the minhag is we don't use old play cheres at Pesach. No questions asked. So it's a non-issue. The Rama says pierce play cheres yishanim, meaning used play cheres. The ovens that they have that were made of probably like bricks or something, or maybe some sort of cheres that they had in their winter room, meaning the room they kept warm in the winter, is had a din of a kli cheres, and therefore they would often put stuff like they would build a fire inside this tanner, and they would put food to warm up on top of it. You can't put food to warm up on top of it on Pesach. Because it's chametz, it's the kli cheres, and it's not kashered. And therefore, what do you have to do? You have to put like another board on top of it, and then you can put the chametz on top of that other board. Okay. Chaf gimel. Kli cheres. Hametzubin behitach zechuches. The Gemara has a din about kli kunya. Kli kunya, which is coated cheres. What's the din of these kli kunya? Right? So, it's a big machlokas. What are klei kunya? The Gemara says klei kunya is usur.
Clay kunyas are. What are clay kunya? So, Rashi says, cheres mitsupe v'avar. Avar is lead, means metal. And Rabbi Tam said, cheres mitsupe v'zachuchis, glazed clay cheres, like our dishes. The shochet arach paskins, clay like revenue paskins, cheres hamitsupe mehitos zachuchis, clay cheres coated with glass, are usher. Dinam kuchheres, they're like kuchheres, you can't kasha them for Pesach, you just can't use them Pesach at all. The Mishmer adds that were also makber for Rashi, and whether they're coated with metal or glass, we consider them usher on Pesach. Hagav, yesh b'chom shenog, shol zavis b'kuchheres, glazer, afil chadoshim, ve'in lahat rekom okom minog. There are some places that they don't use glazed cheres, even brand new on Pesach, but you only have to be makber if that's the minog in your place. That's not our minog. Why did they have the minog? There are two explanations to that minog. Number one is that in some town, the goyim would use them and then sell them as new and rip off the customer a little, but they were really used. And you can tell they were used, because since they were glazed, they were just polished and nice and clean. So A, either because in some towns, the minog was that the shopkeepers would use them and then claim they were new, or because in some places, when they made these, they would use subin. What's subin? Subin is bran?
Yeah,
they would use bran as part of the ingredients in making these kalim, so they would have chametz in them. But in our days, if you go to, you know, the store and buy them, none of these chashas apply. They don't use bran in making the dishes, and the storekeepers don't use the dishes before they sell them. They're really new from the factory. So we all know our minhag is we buy new glazed kalim for Pesach, but we don't use the old one. There's a big issue here, by the way, I should just point out briefly. Why? Remember, who's talking here? The Machaber's talking. What did the Machaber hold about glass?
Not bole
at all. So if there's glass on top of the cheres, it should be mutter on Pesach. The glass blocks all the bleos. So what's the problem? So what's the problem? Right?
That's the Gemara makes a difference.
Okay, but you have this. What's the svar of the Gemara?
Rashi says the Gemara kibim.
No, not Rashi. Rashi says the Gemara means metal coated.
But the Gemara kibim, although the Gemara makes a difference between green and different colors. The Gemara says it depends what the extra Gemara kibim is.
Okay. But the Rishonim here, that's the Gemara kibim, the cheres. I'm not sure if that's the Gemara kibim, the glass. Right, okay. But why didn't the glass block everything? So here there's a machlokes. Why doesn't glass, again, for Spartan, block the bleos? Like, why isn't the glass a protective shield to block the bleos? After all, that's why they sell them that way. Why did we use glazed klicheres and we never use regular klicheres? Because any scientist will tell you, if you use a regular klicheres, it would be full of bleos, and it would be disgusting. And after 2 days, a modern 21st century or even 20th century person would not be willing to use it anymore. But since it's glazed, the glass keeps all the bleos out and seals it so that no bleos can come in whatsoever. Every scientist will tell you that. Okay, so why don't we believe them? So here, there's a bit of a machlokes. The Bir Halacha quotes Machlokas in Tosos and the Rosh. Two different explanations, one of Tosos and one of the Rosh. One of the two different explanations. The Rosh says, Kevan shenitzraf hazechuches im hacheres nasekheres. Since the glass is forged together with the pottery, it takes on the identity of the cheres. When you forge the glass in the furnace together with the cheres, the glass becomes like cheres, and therefore it loses its protective powers. The Tosfos says a little differently. He says, since the glass is a very thin coating, it doesn't block the bleos. So there are two different reasons why this glass, even according to Sfardim, doesn't have the protective power of glass. Either because it's put in the furnace together with the cheres, so it takes on some properties of the cheres, or B, because Since it's a very thin layer, it can't really protect it and keep out the bleeds. Now, it's a little tricky because both these explanations are against, like, what the scientists who manufacture them say, because they say it does keep out the glios. I saw in the safer, I think I saw in the safer of a certain maverick posek in America called Yitzhak Abadi, that he taka paskins that our modern day dishes, bidyeved, you can be makel if you need to, that they're not balea, because the glass blocks the glios. He says that it's like a total side point, and it's not like the main topic, so he doesn't explain himself. As he gets to a first sip in Shulchan Aruch, like, it's very nice that he has maybe some scientists who agree with him, but I'm not sure how you can get to the first sip in Shulchan Aruch. I'm sure if you asked him, he would have an explanation, but I don't know what it is.
But can't you just simply say the same thing that if you hold, like, the spark in the glass, it's not what they have? Because it's the same. Our modern
different than the Mechavers.
They have the status for glass.
Okay.
That seems like a pretty good spot.
And that's Lachora, that's what everybody would say, that our modern dishes are different from the ones that the Gemara and the Mechaber are talking about, and that glass is stronger and keeps out the bleos. Lachora, that's what he would say. He points out he has no problem saying that the glass is strong enough to keep out the bleos, but yet, Paschi, you don't have to total them, because the glass is so small it doesn't count, so you don't have to total. He says those two work together.
That sounds like a little bit of a steer.
Okay. But he says, it looks like a steer, but it's not, but doesn't explain why, because it's not his main topic. I'm sure he has a good explanation. I'm sure even Murray Simon probably knows a good explanation. Lemaisa, that's a maverick psak nowadays, that even B'Shas HaDchak, you can rely on the fact, he wouldn't say for Pesach, I'm sure, that our kalim, you know, aren't bolea because the glass, it's against Mefur Shef and Shulchan Aruch, and to start saying it's different nowadays is not the mainstream approach. So there is a maverick sheet out there, but the accepted sheet is what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Our plates are exactly Tulcheres Mitzupin Behitov Sechuchis, and therefore they have the din of Cheres, and that's why, you know, we never kasher dishes for Pesach, and if you treif up a dish, then you can't kasher it. Absolutely, precisely.
Even though glass, but they don't.
Precisely. Okay.
Does Rav Avadi, do you know if he ever brings any of
this? I don't think so.
What?
Yeah, unless you put in something in the oven, correct.
But okay. that won't destroy the china?
All right. Moshe Dover Tendler tells me it won't.
Okay.
Take it on your own advice. Chop Dalit. Kli Eitz HaMetzupin is a general rule that anything I say about Hechsher Kalem or Tefilas Kalem, do it on your own achrayis. Meaning, ultimately, I guess I have no choice but to say, take certain achrayis on the halachic side of it, but what breaks and what won't break, everything is on your own achrayis. I take no responsibility in doing about this. Chav Dalet. Consult with someone who understands what will break and what won't break before you try anything. Chav Dalet. Kli Eitz HaMetzupin Samonim Shekorin Barnes. Wood that is painted with a certain kind of paint that they used to call Barnes. Dina Kikli Cheres counts as klicheres. What's so bad that makes it count as klicheres? So it's not 100% clear. The Mishavur says, because that layer of paint that's called barnis blocks the hagola. It's not so clear exactly what that means, what happened to the bolu kachbolto. So I saw in the sefer Hagolas Kalim says they only meant to answer it if you use the Kli Eitz and then you painted it. Because since you used it and the wood directly touched the food, and then when you come to kasher it, the wood doesn't touch the water, it only touched the water through the paint, so it's a weaker than it was originally used. Originally used without paint. Now you use with this paint, and he says maybe they only meant if like you used it first and then painted it.
That doesn't fit into the
Rambam. It doesn't. We'll get to that. The Darkei Tshuva says that this is only referring to very, very thick layers, not like the kind of coloring that we have on our wooden kalem. On our wooden kalem, we have a very thin layer of paint. This is only referring to a very thick layer of paint. Lemaisa, we tend to assume that if we have wood that is colored or painted, that we can kasher it. Either because, like the Golas Kalim Sefer says, this chomer was only meant if you used it first, unpainted, and then painted it, or like the Darkei Tshuva, it's only referred to a thick layer, which they use called barnes, and not to the kind of paint that we usually have. Some places have a chomer, they don't use painted kalim, even if they are brand new. And in those makomos, either because they used to use, what do we say it was called? Subin? Bran, to make the paint, or because they're afraid it might have been used clean, the guy painted it to fool you and think it was new. And likewise, some places, if it's tin plated, they wouldn't use it. Again, either because they used to put bran in the tin, or because you're afraid it was a used cle, and he just made a nice plating of tin to fool you and think it was new.
What about the rest of the used bran? Was Leroy Lafkilo?
Correct. That's what the Mishabura says. There's some place that really the bran is not a problem because they burn it up and it just turns into chemicals while they're doing it. But some place still at the minhag. But the Inla Hakim is a recommendation of Isser. You don't think Machron this unless you have a specific minhag to Asser. We don't have the minhag. We use all new kalim. We don't assume they were old kalim that they just painted to look like new. And we don't assume they use bran. Even if they did use bran, they really burned it up and turned it into chemicals.
If it's covered with tin, why can't you just crush it?
Because the problem is, if it was bull, one second. Because then it would be like the case of the tefillah. If you used it first, and then put a coating of tin on it, then if you do Hagolah now, it won't be good enough. Because the Hagolah is going through that originally was bullet and not through a layer of tin, and now the Hagolah goes through a layer of tin, so it's not good enough. You'd have to do Levon. And Levon ruins tin because it has a very low melting point. So that's why it didn't work. Okay, there's some place here the Achronim say this. Okay, Chaf, hey, Chol Kli Ashtia, all drinking glasses and pitchers, Bein Tzlochis, Bein Kosos, whether pitchers or Chaf, Mutar B'Shtifa, you just rinse them because they're only used for cold. Whether glass, metal, or wood, or even cheres, they just use cold, you rinse them out cold. Again, in our days, it's a little more chomer, because then we wash them hot in the sink with chametz. But in those days, they didn't wash their, ever use hot water with their drinking glass, so it was fine. But don't sometimes you might dip hot bread in them or use them for some other hot chametz. But for those fired, since the rov tashmisha is cold, we just wash them out cold. So the hokum chalki ala recha rov tashmisha, only follow rov tashmisha, says the Ramah, miri yesh machirin, tzvi chagol, chenog, and frash kenaz, and we're choshish, even for the one time, or very, very rare use, that might have been hot, since rarely someone might have dunked hot bread in their cup, or poured some hot chametz beverage into their cup. Therefore, for Ashkenazim, we have to do Hagala even to drinking materials. Chaf Vav. Klei Zechuchis. We know there's a tremendous machlokas about Klei Zechuchis. The Rav Yah brings down, and the Mordechai brings down a machlokas. There are two original main deas, and then the third one that the Mishnevura liked also. Two most common opinions about Zechuchis are the Rav Yah and Rav Yehiel. The Rav Yah says, "Eino boleya klal." Glass is never boleya. What's his makor? One of his makoros is very weak. There's a Gemara that says that the heart. It's not clear if we pass like this, but I mean we do, but only for very subtle nafkaminas. The heart muscle is very smooth and non-porous, which apparently it is, and therefore the blood doesn't get absorbed in it. And he says, glass is much more smooth and non-porous, so of course it doesn't absorb. The better makor is, it's a mefurshin, Bryce and Abbas Rabbi Nassan, that says there are certain things that that don't absorb, and one of them is glass. So that sounds like more mefurish, it's not in Shas, only in Abbas Rabbi Nassan. And Abbas Rabbi Nassan mentions a list of like properties, like random things that are they're randomly similar, vaguely similar. It happens to Agam Orcha list that glass not boleah. So Rav Yah says glass not boleah.
So why would you argue on that?
What?
Why would you argue on that?
Also, because some people say all it means is that it's not boleah as much as cheres, meaning if it's new, it won't be boleah in less than 24 hours. Maybe it doesn't mean it's not boleah at all. Rav Yehiel says,
what's this Rav Yah?
What?
What's the makor for this rabbi?
Either from the heart muscle, which is smooth, so
no,
this
no,
is also...
Where is this? Where can I find this rabbi?
Shin Haran Berbez Dipsachim. Okay, it's also in the Ran and the Rash of the Tshuva. The Rav Yah, if you look in the Beis Yosef, you would find it. Okay, the Rav Yah and many Rishoni Sfarad, right? The Rav Yechiel says it's like Keres, meaning it's Bolea the Eino Polite, or... Right? The E. Epsher Le Hagilo. It's Bolea, and you can't kasher through Hagala because it's like Keres. Why say it's like Keres? He says, because how do you make Keres? You take mud and you make it into something and then put it in a big furnace and it turns into Keres. How do you make glass? You take sand and you mush it together and you put it in a furnace and you forge it. Sand is glass. Sand is mud. Sand is dirt. What's it with dirt or sand? So it's a kind of Keres. Therefore, it gets treif. You can never kasher. The Ritva quotes from his Rebbe, the Ra'ah, that it's like other materials. He takes a middle shita, meaning it's boleya, and you can do hagala to it. Meaning it's not mentioned in Shas explicitly, so it's like a regular material. It's boleya, and you can kasher. Those are the three shitas.
That's the last thing. That's what's very strange, because they had spuches to make zero sum spuches. I don't know everything about spuches. If they thought it was a din of pli cheres, they should have said so.
Okay. So, it's interesting. The Mechaber and the Ramah didn't have this Ritva. The Beis Yosef doesn't quote this Ritva. He only quotes the first two days. It's only the Mishnah Berurah likes this Ritva. The Mishnah Berurah liked all the Rishonim. Says the Mechaber, please, Chukas Afila Mechlis Lekion. Mechlis Lekion means you store things in there for a long time, even Kosh. Right? Afila Mishnah Mechana, even if you use a Verhat, ain't Sar Shom Hechsher, you don't have the Kashrich in a Bowen. No, they don't absorb at all. Uvishtiba Vamosidon, who just rinse them to get rid of any vents, stuck on them and you're fine. For Sfaradim, as we well know, glass is always kosher, always pesethic, always everything. Just rinse it well. Hagav, Yeshvach Miram, Dechliz Chonaz Avila Golo Mahani. No, Yeshvach Miram say, not only is it Boleya, this is the Mechaber. The Ramah says, not only is it Boleya, you can't kasher it, it's like Keres. Minakotze elakotze, right? Diametrical opposite. I feel a little mahani luhu because it's like Keres. V'cheinam minig ashkenaz, so minig sfarid, the glass is always perfectly mutter in all cases. Minag ashkenaz is that glass is always usher because it's like Keres and you can't even kasher it.
It's treif, that's it.
Oh, we'll get that in a second. Uvimdinas elu in Ashkenaz, meaning in Germany and in Poland and all of what we call Ashkenazic countries. Likewise, if they in those days used to have silver kalim that had a glazing on them, shekorin gishmelts, ein lagilo, then it's treif because of the glass, and hagolah won't even help because of the glass. That's only if the glazing is inside, where it touches the food. If the glazing is outside, where it doesn't touch the food, then it's not so bad. If it doesn't touch the food, so then you can still do hagolah. Okay, that's the big chumra of the Ashkenazim. A few kulas from the Mishnah Berurah. A few kulas in the Mishnah Berurah. Are Ashkenazim ever makel? So number one, can Ashkenazim ever be makel? So the Mishnah Berurah is two kulas for Ashkenazim. Says the Mishnah Berurah, al pi achronim, even Ashkenazim, he has two kulas. One kula is bidyevet. What's the case of bidyevet? Remember, bidyevet doesn't mean, oh, bidyevet, like I have my glasses, I need to use them on Pesach. No. Bidyevet means you already made food in them, right? Now you want to know if your food became chametz today. Right? So let's say you have a glass Pyrex baking pan. You accidentally baked it on Pesach. You want to know if it became chametz today. Or you have a glass pitcher, and you left your wine in it for 24 hours, kavush, and you want to know if it became chametz today or not, right? And don't pull that shach, let's say, after 24 hours, it's no snam of gam, because for Ashkenazim, no snam of gam is also in Pesach. So, what the din b'dievet? So that's what the Mishnah Berurah discusses in Sifkatan Kuf Nunhei. B'dievet, he says, three heterim. What are his three heterim? He says, Im haya rov tashmisho bitsonein bli kavush mutter, meaning, if you usually only use it to keep cold things less than 24 hours, then b'dievet, you can rely on a rov tashmisho. Through rov tashmisho, you only need to rinse it, so then it's good enough. Okay, that's an easy kula. We know b'dievet, rely on rov tashmisho. His second kula is b'dievet im hig'ilo mutter. Again, I don't mean you can use the kli. I mean, if you magled it, you did Haggalah, and you relied on the Ritva, and you accidentally did Haggalah to glass and used it on Pesach, then b'diavad you can rely on the Ritva on the Haggalah. And the third kula is b'makom hafsid meruva v'eino ben yomo mutter. Remember we saw whenever you had the tzadla hakel, you add a ben yomo and have to meruva. So here the tzadla hakel is the Rav Yah. Most Rishonim agree with Rav Yah. So you add Rav Yah to hafsid meruva v'eino ben yomo, and you can make also the maisa. If an Ashkenazi decided to be more sfardi and use like chametz to glassware at Pesach, their food, in most circumstances, we can be mekel, in almost all circumstances, we can be mekel, they didn't make their food chametz stick, because you're metzarek ben yechiel to Rav Tashmisho, or to the Ritva, or to have some Reuven ein ben yomo, and you can be mekel.
What if Ashkenazi comes to a Sephardi family's home?
So then there would be the same thing. Let's say the Ashkenazi comes to a Sephardi family's home, and the Sephardi family cooked things in chametz stick glass baking dishes. Then as long as it wasn't ben yomo, he can eat it. Oh, sorry, no, then that's only Sashim Ruba. Then it's not so posh, it would depend. If they only use things for Rov Tashmish with Tzomnein, he can eat their food. If the Sfardim did Hagola, but they wouldn't. If the Sfardim, if it was a Muck of Hefsin Meruba and Simchas Yontif, and it was Einu Ben Yomo, then he can be Makel. But it's not always so posh. What if it's not Hefsin Meruba? So, it's not always so posh. What you do if you're Sfardim, you invite Ashkenazim over for Pesach. You don't. Ravada actually even says Harvick's baking dishes maybe are different than the glass they used to have, and he says it's kedai to do machra on them. I don't know what Spartan do.
All the Spartan
do
Spartan
in one place, Ravada says the glasses and the pitchers kena, but the actual baking dishes, Ravada says, those are a stronger kind of glass than they had in the old days. So maybe we shouldn't be so mako, because the different kind of glass that goes into the oven and gets super hot. They didn't have glass that got super hot. Maybe this glass that got super hot is more chomer. And therefore, even a lot of Spartan, they don't use the pirates' baking dishes. They just use like the glasses and pitchers. And those things are only used for cold anyway, so it's not a big deal, so then it's okay. Okay. And nowadays in New York, they can't even give you cold water necessarily. All year long.
That was the way people,
right.
Nobody invited it.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people still have that minhag, but in our circles, not as many people have that minhag anymore. There's still been gross guys of that minhag, but not as many. Okay, Mishabur Kofnan Vav is a very important one. Very important one. Says the Mishabur Kofnan Vav, he says, this is what all of our grandparents did. What if you can't afford new drinking glasses? It's hard to get new drinking glasses for Pesach. What do? Then you can be makel to do Eroi Gimel Yamim. And here he's talking about things that are mostly used for cold. He says, Im ein lo kosos lepesach v'rov tashmishan bitzonein mutter al yedei Eroi Gimel Yamim. If you're not talking about things used for hot, just things used for cold, and you don't have drinking glasses and pitchers for Pesach, you can't afford to buy new ones, it's hard to get, then what do you do if you're stuck? Then you can be mekel and kasha them through Eroi Gimel Yamim. Maybe if it was only used for cold, then even Ashkenazim can have more room to be mekel and kasha them by filling up 43 times. That's what all our grandparents did. Ask your grandparents, great-grandparents what they did with their glasses before Pesach. Oh, you put them in the bathtub. It was a chagigah for the kids. You didn't have to bathe for 3 days in a row. You fill them in the bathtub, and you fill them up with cold with water. One day, 24 hours, fill it out. Another 24 hours, fill it out. Another 24 hours, fill it out. And your glasses were kasher for Pesach. That's what all, if you talk to very old people, that's what they all did growing up. Nowadays, no one should do this. Again, if there's someone who's very old who keeps their gears at Yanka, so you don't have to fight with them. But nowadays, you shouldn't do this, because nowadays, glasses are a dime a dozen, practically. It's very, we can all afford to buy new glasses for Pesach. I'm talking about Ashkenazim, of course. So therefore, we should not use this. Everyone can afford. They're very cheap. You know, drinking glasses are not expensive things anymore. Anyone can afford them. They're really not so expensive. You know, for the price of two chickens that you buy for Pesach, you could buy probably 50 drinking glasses. I mean, they're not expensive relative to other items nowadays, because we have something called China. And therefore, nowadays we should not use this kula. But in the old days, everyone used that kula because it was very expensive and they couldn't afford it. Okay. Okay. So she probably had the minhag from the old days. Maybe she grew up, she learned from her grandmother or something. So again, people still keep the minhag in the old days, you don't have to fight with them, but it's really not proper nowadays, because this is all in the case of a shas abchak. What's a shas abchak nowadays? It's really, it's not a big deal at all. Okay, chaf, agav, a big machlokas, a tremendous machlokas in the modern day poskim is, it originally started with machlokas in the Sephardic poskim. Some Sephardim had the minhag being machra like the Rambam on glass. Then they argued, is that only Chumr de Pesach, or is that all the time? Then the Ashkenazi poskim all started arguing, when there are Muz machra on glass, is that only Chumr de Pesach is machra on glass? Only on Pesach? Or no, all year long is also machra on glass? Is this Rama only Chumr de Pesach, or for regular kashrus also? It's a big nafgamina. What? So hold that thought for a moment. So it's a big machlokes that poskim ad hayom hazeh. Every rabbi you go to and every shul will give you a different answer. All year long are Ashkenazim also machmer or only on Pesach? There are some people of the minhag, even though it's not as widespread, that they have the same plates, glass plates, they eat hot milk and hot meat on it all year long, because they hold that the Ramah is only chomer to Pesach. That's not so mainstream nowadays. However, the big machlokas nowadays is most, there are three minhagim. There are those who are noheg from Yidden, who have glass plates, they used to eat hot steak, and they used to eat hot lasagna. Because they hold the Ramah is only for Pesach. That is not so common, and I wouldn't recommend it. The two mainstream in Hagen nowadays are, some poskim say, no, bein Pesach, bein all year long, glass is not kashrable. And Tom poskim say, no, lechadchila remachra all year long, but b'di'eved, then we don't have to throw things out all year long, and we can be mako because it's not Pesach. And therefore, nowadays, the three shittas are, some people are machmir even l'chachil all year long. That's not as mainstream. Some people are machmir l'gamri all year long. And some people can make a compromise in the middle, I think, that Rabbi Miller even passes this way, that l'chachilah we keep glass separate for meat or for milk, for kosher, for treif all year long. I'm not going to go to my goyish neighbor and, oh, can I buy your used glass things? No. But b'di'eved, if you're stuck and you have something, you accidentally dripped something down and made it, that was bas b'chalav or something, made a trade, you don't have to throw it out. B'di'eved, you can be mekel all year long, like the mechaber, because it's not Pesach. So I think there's definitely room, especially since the scientists do tell us that glass is very non-absorbent, that either mechaber, Ramah was machmer or Pesach. But since the Ramah didn't explicitly say what a shita was all year long, yesh makom l'hakel b'di'eved, all year long, for glass, if an accident happened, and you know, you have a Pyrex, a fleshic Pyrex, and you accidentally spill some milk on it or something, then yesh makom l'hakel, certainly after 24 hours, to rely on the mechaber and the Rav Yah and Rav Rishonim. This is also the reason why many people use the same drinking glasses for milk and fleshic meals. Now, of course, they only drink part out of it. Oh, but it's near the milk inflation food, and it can be in the sink with the milk inflation, and it can get like minor bleeds of milk inflation. What? Sponges. So, many people are making. Why? So they say, really, all year long, we don't be so machmer on glass. And we wouldn't mamish put hot milk and hot meat on it, but if it's just what you wash it with and what you put on the table with, then we're not machmer. So therefore, there is, you know, again, the minhag of totally being makel across the board all year long is not so mainstream, but the minhag to be makel partially all year long is okay. I mean, what does partially mean? But yeah, but if you're stuck, you can be makel, you wait 24 hours, and it's also ina ben yomo, which all year long is okay, or drinking glasses, which you actually only use for cold parith. But, like, maybe it was washed with this, I mean, it doesn't matter, you only drink cold out of it. So then we can for sure be makel. So what if you wash it with a milk sponge and you wash it with a fleshic sponge, etc.? You're only drinking soda out of it. What's going to happen? Right? You don't even keep your soda there 24 hours. So that's why people are makir with drinking glasses. But savor for the fact that they only drink cold pariv and it's glass, people are makel.
What did this happen over the last 20 years? 480 years, everybody has to do on one way. In the last 20 years, they changed their mind.
Nobody ever said such a shot in the Ramah for 480 years.
I'm
Well, so that it's year round, or that it's not year round.
No, he means glasses trade fell. It's terrace all year long in Muck and Lock Hill. That's what Zev is saying. Okay, there are. I don't know exactly when. It's an interesting historical question. I'm not sure. It could be Zev might be right, but Lemaisa, Yesh, Mekilim, and even from Europe, they're old people who use glass for milk and meat.
Better to have separate drinking
glasses. No, I didn't say that.
Would you expect? It's a what?
I have separate drinking glasses for meat and milk because I live in a mansion and I have a lot of room in my kitchen to have lots of fleishik cabinets and lots of milk cabinets, so I have separate everything. But if you don't live in a mansion, then yeah, when you live in a mansion, then you should get separate drinking glasses for meat and milk. Do you have separate drinking glasses for fleishik and milk? Okay, great.
You have separate everything.
Okay.
And I said it in a real way, but nobody. We had a house, and we bought it when somebody was renting. We went up there one day, you know, when I grew up, we know it was in the drop in New York. We went up, and there were a Spanish company, family, and they had glassware, and they only had one set. We came down, we didn't know what to do with ourselves. We didn't know what was going on.
Okay. All right. Chav Zayin. Shvud Yatzan Shetzolah Bo'ofas V'Pesach, an old spit that you use for rotisserie chicken all year long, and you also use it to roast chicken on Pesach, mutarin, avavi, should be coated, solubo, basar, meluach, milk, solo, nivdak. What's the problem? All year long, you use it for chicken. But chickens aren't chametz. Ah, but you salt the chicken, but salt isn't chametz. But you weren't careful on the salt. Like this, you weren't careful to keep chametz out of the salt. So what happens if you weren't careful to keep chametz out of the salt? The salt might have been chametz. So if the salt might have been chametz, the chickens might have been chametz, if the chickens might have been chametz, the spit would have been chametz stick. And now you use it on Pesach. Oh, that's a problem. Remember, we said the hafila, any kalim used that weren't careful to keep chametz away from them, we have to kasher. But what if you used it and you didn't kasher it? Then he says, mutarim. It's mutter, because at the end of Lomas Lekin Nisura, even though maybe some chametz fell in the salt and then got into the chicken and then got into your spit, but it's nice to be extra machmir, but b'di'evet, we assume nothing got into it. That's only a heter b'di'evet. Likewise, the faucets in the wine barrels. Remember, like in the Old West, right? The faucets come in and out of the barrels. The minig is to rinse them off well, just wine barrels, in case some chametz got in, because we were careful to keep it away from chametz. Likewise, the wooden racks that we keep the cups in, the minig is to wash them in case any chametz got there, even though we just put the cups on them and we don't actually eat from them. The minig is just to be on the safe side. L'chatchila. Okay, there's some other dinim in the achronim here, but we don't have to get into it. Who's the substitute for Aaron? Okay, Tafnun Beis. Most of Tafnun Beis, we're just going to quickly summarize Tafnun Beis, deals with one problem, which is a problem we've dealt with already. Which is,
and I'm going to try to summarize this maybe outside first,
which is a problem.
We have the plea.
Exactly. A problem, a basic problem that bothered Rishon Bet Hagola. Why doesn't the water become usser and then make everything usser? Right? Because remember the difference between Liban and Hagalah. Liban burns away the plea. Hagalah doesn't burn the plea, it just gets it into the water. So now the water's chametz stick. So how does it help? It's just like giving chametz stick again. Or if you're kashering something treif, now the water's treif. So how does that help? So there are, what eitzah would you say? What eitzah have we already seen to avoid this problem? There are basically four eitzahs to avoid this problem. The simplest eitzah is, make sure everything's eino ben yomo. If it's eino ben yomo, then the water's always kosher. A second option, what did someone say? Bottle of shisha.
But that
would
say by Pesach, what mattered all these things but
Lushi Shinner? No, that's on Pesach, Kasher,
yeah.
Before Pesach.
But the point is, even if it's less than the 60s, you still have less than the 60s of plumbing in your pot.
Yeah, but it's bottled, that's fine. No, it's bottled in the water. Once it's bottled in the water, it doesn't exist anymore. It doesn't go back to your pot.
It doesn't exist, it's there.
No, it's bottled with shisha, so now it disappears in the water. That works. Of course, in Bittul Shishim, remember we saw Machlokas, which is also summarized by the Nosakanim here. Matter of fact, the Magen Avraham here, it's not so often the Magen Avraham quotes a Shach. The Magen Avraham here quotes a Shach. Remember in the Machlokas that Chozer V'Neir versus the Kamakama Batel? So here we see, but Bittul Shishim is not always so practical because we are Machmirim, the Chozer V'Neir, in which case the Heter of Bittul Shishim is not so practical. Because if you're kashing a lot of Kalim, then you need 60 times all the kalim put together, and that's hard to have, right? If you're capturing a whole set of silverware in a pot, you have 60 times each silverware, but you don't have 60 times everything together. So by the time you put in the 100th piece of silverware, now Chozer V'Neir, all the 100 comics come together, and it's not bottled with shisha. It's machlok zechron, yeah, we saw it last time also. Okay, a third option, what did someone say? Not bar nafta hetera. Of course, that's not going to help your if you're kashering trait kalim, but if you're kashering chametz to kalim, when is it not barnata etera?
Before Pesach.
Not before Pesach, say better. At what time?
Before the sixth hour.
Before the fifth hour. As long as you're allowed to eat chametz, right? Meaning, kodem sha'ah chamishis be'erev Pesach. Right? If you do it before the fifth hour of every Pesach, you're ready now, letting chametz, then it's Isura. If you do it before the fifth hour, it's not barnata etera. Yes?
So I just
want
to clarify, we're saying that the time from the food goes into the pot, and from the time from the pot goes into the water, the time from the water goes back into the pot. So that should take place right away.
It should, but if you do one of these three things, you're okay. If it's ain ben yobo, when the time of the pot goes into the water, it's nosen tam of gam, and it's butzel. If the water is 60 times what you're kashering.
Well, you're saying as long as you do the whole process, go to the shach.
Yeah, then as long as you finish all your kashering before shach hamishis, as soon as the taste goes from the clean to the water, it's not burnt out that tayrin, it doesn't count. Or this one many of you brought up, which is Aydi Ditarid Lemiflat Lo Bali. This is a principle which you really find in the Rishonim more when it comes to kashering. Like, when you kasher food, when you kasher a lot of piece of meat, why does the blood from the top piece of meat get absorbed in the bottom piece of meat? One of the most common explanations is because since the blood's coming out, it doesn't come in. Basically, when the bli is going out, it doesn't go back in. However, if you rely on this, it gets very tricky. Why does it get very tricky? Because what are some of the things that you have to watch out for then? But this requires many conditions. What are the many conditions? I'll just list some of them. A, you can't leave it in the water too long. After all, if you leave it in the water too long, it'll finish sending the taste out and it'll go back in. This is exceedingly impractical. B, what's another? You can't kasher kli rishon together with a klisheni. Why? Because the klisheni only has a little blia. The klishen has a lot of blia. So the blia of the klisheni goes out, and then the klisheni is empty. And then the blia of the klishen is out of the klishen into the klisheni. Right? Meaning you can't kosher something with a big blia together with something with a small blia. Because the thing with the small blia will get rid of the blia in half a second, and then absorb the blia that comes out of the thing with the big blia. Another condition that's brought up here is this all in the chaber is that you can't let the water ever dip below the boiling point. Why? Because the minute the water dips below the boiling point, now it's not taking the blia out of the kli anymore, so then it puts the blia into the kli. Another, these are mentioned by the mechaber.
What is the A? When you say can't leave in the water too long, what does that mean?
The Rishonim write, we don't actually know what that means, and that's what makes this very impractical. Another thing, which the Taz adds, this is from the Taz, all the rest are in the Machaber. It says the Taz, says, you can't kasher part of the Kli twice. What do I mean? Let's say you have a long cleat. Let's say this is too long to fit in my pot. So what do? I stick in one half, I turn it upside down, stick in the other half. But what's the problem? If I stick in like 49% and then 49%, I'll have 2% in the middle of the kosher. So I'll be careful. I'll stick in 51% and then 51%. Then I have 2% in the middle of the kosher twice. But if it was kosher twice, then the first time the bleah went out, then the second time the bleah wasn't going out, so it went in. So you get stuck. Another issue that comes up is, of course,
that's only if you use the same water.
Only if you use the same water, correct. Also, you have to kosher the kashering pot first. This is a little tricky exactly why. They assume, hold on, let's say you kasher in a chametz stick pot. That chametz stick pot will put lots of chametz into the water and overwhelm the little spoon you dip in the water and go into the spoon. So you have to kasher the chametz stick pot first, pour out all the water, and then refill it. And F, for sure, you have to kasher the kashering pot afterwards. Why? The kashering pot, in your first minute of kashering, it releases all its bleels. Then you keep kashering, so the kashering pot absorbs your bleels. And the kashering pot becomes chametz stick. So you have to kasher it when you finish. So basically, it's a tremendous pain to try to be machbid on derech 4. And even then, you're never sure you succeeded, because after all, how long is 2-1? That's exactly what the Rishonim say. Impossible. We don't know how to really be omitted in all these tonight.
How do you kasher the kashering pot?
We'll see in the last sif. Basically, you fill it up all the way. I'm simplifying now, and boil it and pour out the water.
How do you boil it all the way?
Okay, we'll get that. Good, we'll get to that. Okay.
Wait, I just want to ask, with the water too long, I mean, if you put the kli in just for like, you know, if you just drop it in and then pull it right out, is it kosher?
Yes, but what if you drop it in and leave it for an extra 10 seconds? How do you know where to draw the line?
Even that 10 seconds?
We learned this concept in general that, like, the bleas would not go out at first, and then rather than...
All made up by the Rishonim, not any mucker and shas about kasher.
You should say made up.
No, I mean logically deduced, when I say. Okay, Lemaisa, let's just briefly see which of these strategies we're supposed to use, okay? Which of these four strategies should we use? So, says the Mechaber, Yesh li zar lahaygo kodim shachamishis. You should be careful to do it before the fifth hour. Says the Mechaber, use strategy 3. Why? Kidesh lo yitzarech ledaktik v'akilim b'nei yomolo. So you don't have to worry whether or not they're b'nei yomon, whether or not they're b'nei yomo. Mechaber, let's put the Mechaber and Rambam together. What does that mean? Or you can use strategy 1, but it's simpler to use 3, and then you don't have to worry about anything. Add the Ramah. Om yesh samach mayim kanei klushamayil. Or strategy 2. Right? Meaning you could have used any of these options. The recommended simplest option is to kasher everything before the fifth hour. Continued. The chain, what else would you not have to worry about? That would be an option. Imago, I'm reading it a certain way, that's good enough for now. Imago, kelim shleshim wet, and kelim shleshim ruba. You don't have to worry whether you're kashering kelim with a big bliya together with kelim with a small bliya. The chain of a shah, kelim shleshim yor midai, or if you're letting them sit too long. Bein of a shah, shleshim kach, or if the problem is that in order not to let them sit too long, you might not let them sit long enough. You might put them in and take them out so quick without giving them a few seconds to let their blias out. So you don't have to worry that they dip to a little boiling point. I'm going to skip this Ramah now. Here's another one. Sorry, I forgot one. That's really the same idea. Either you can't let the water go below boiling, you also can't put the kalim in before the water gets to boiling. Because anytime it's not boiling, it just puts the leas in instead of out. And so you don't have to kasher the kashering pot before and after. Okay, the imlo helu kodin vani sura. Okay, so this is the ikar din. Says the Mechaber, basically you could use any of these strategies, but his recommendation is to do it before shachamisha, so you don't have to worry about all these other strategies. Yes,
it's better to kasher in a binyam chametz stick pot than to kasher in a kosher pesach pot and then kasher the pot afterwards.
No, who said better?
Seems like we're saying that one is better than four, and koshering in a kosher Pesach pot would require you to kosher it afterwards. No, So
and not if the kalim are in the binyomo. If the clear kashrim is in the binyomo, then it's just as good. And
why,
the Rambam.
Why is kashrim before the fatara better than reward?
What?
Why is kashrim before the fatara better than reward?
He just means practically it's easier to keep track of because you don't have to know anything but what time it is. That's even simpler than binyomo, right? He just means practically simpler. And the Rambam. And if you forget to do Hagolah before the fifth hour, you can use one of the other strategies, and you can do Hagolah until Pesach. Once Pesach starts, it's too late to do Hagolah, because then Chametz is an Isser Mashu. Once Chametz is an Isser Mashu, none of these strategies work for Ashkenazim. For Ashkenazim, once Pesach, well, let's just read on.
The Eino Melo Hagolah Shechodah Roleyav,
Motu Lamin Kli Tova Pesach, Shemagil Kodim Pesach Lachar Sheish Tzarech Lizor B'chol Adrom Nizkarim Sein Tzarech Lizor and Kodim Sheish. I'm going to just read the Rambam the simple way. What if it is after the fifth hour? He says sixth hour, but if Lav Dafki, you probably move the fifth without getting to Lumbus. Then you have to worry about one of these other things. Either you need Inu B'Yomo, or you need Bitul B'Shishim, or you need, again, I'm reading it in the simplest way. There are other ways to read it, or you need to use that strategy. What if it's on Pesach? If it's on Pesach, then for Ashkenazim, only Liban works on Pesach. We don't rely on Bitul B'Shishim on Pesach. We don't rely on Einu B'Yomo on Pesach. We certainly on Pesach itself, these are Mashu, don't rely on being so careful about these things. So you can only use Liban, not Hagolah. For Sfardim, you can use number one. Einu B'Yomo, even on Pesach. If it's Einu B'Yomo, Sfardim hold Einu B'Yomo as Mutter and Kasher on Pesach. But Ashkenazim, once Pesach starts, can't do Hagolah, only Liban. Liban destroys the Isser. But Hagolah just gets the Isser into the water and the Vatel is going to Einu B'Yomo, and Ashkenazim don't hold from Einu B'Yomo on Pesach. Okay.
Einu B'Yomo would mean you have a Kli that has been used for Chametz for 24 hours, you're saying.
Yes.
Sfardim would say.
I think Sfardim would say you can do Hagolah on Pesach. Let's read Beis and then I'll come back. Says Beis. Yeshli zor milahagel klei abasser klei acholav biyachad elkin echmeim einu binyomo. You shouldn't kasher milk and flesh and kalim together unless at least one of them is not binyomo. Because if they're both binyomo, then according to Sfardim, it's certainly not lachashim. Then according to Ashkenazim, mamash becomes straight. We remember that from Sadigay, Sif Gimel. Kol she'ekein klishol iser. For sure you can't kasher klishol iser if it's binyomo, because it'll make the, it's not pronounced iser, it'll make the word a trait. Alkein nagash lo hagel shom kli ben yomo minag Ashkenaz, and it's a good idea for Sfardim also. This is the din. There are three levels here. The minhag is only one eino ben yomo. The minhag is you only kasher eino ben yomo. Why? You might think the simplest solution is the kasher before shel chamishis. That's what Machaber said. But the Ramah says no. That's not a good advice. Because even before Shal Chamishis, you've taken care of Chametz, not Bernatet Teira, but what if you put in a milk spoon and a flesh spoon at the same time? What if something got traced up and you put it in? Right? There are other problems. Even before Shal Chamishis, there's Basar and there's Cholov and there's Isser. Better just wait till everything's Einu B'Yomo. Because that is like more simple. Because it even takes away problems of Basar, B'Cholov, and Tarfos and Chametz. Takes away all problems. That's the proper minhag that lechatchila we only kasher kli Einu B'Yomo no matter what. Even if it's just milk and just fleishik, just treif, just Pesach, lemaisa, we always wait 24 hours because that's a simpler rule. The simplest rule for Pesach is before Shal Chamishis. But the simplest rule for everything in the Torah is to wait 24 hours before kashering. The Mishnah Berurah adds the Mishnah Berurah. Why? Ramah says it's a minhag to be simple. The Mishnah Berurah says that he goes further. The Mishnah Berurah says it might be al pidin that you have to wait for Einu B'Yomo. Why? The Mishnah Berurah says the other three strategies he doesn't like. Why doesn't he like the other three strategies? Because, says the Mishnah Berurah, this is a good strategy. Says this strategy is not practical because of Kozer Neir. Yeah, what do you mean shishim? You always kasher a lot of kalim. You never shishim and get all the kalim together. So it's not so practical to have shishim. Not bernate teira, he says, I think it's the prichadosh and the gra also, right? What I meant was, one second. Yeah, the gra. The Gra and Pri Chadash argue. They say it's not Napar Natet Tera. Why? Can anyone think of why they would disagree and say it's Holy Sura?
Because it's...
What are we saying, Tafdan Aleph?
The Chetza, it's going to be...
Isura Balan! If it's Isura Balan Tafdan Aleph, then why isn't it Napar Natet Isura? Says the Gra, the Pri Chadash and the Gra, if it's Isura Balan, it's Napar Natet Isura. You have to be consistent. Obviously, the Mechaber and most Rishonim are not consistent. It's Isura Bala, but not for not that Tera. What's the logic of that? Look in the Orcha Shulchan and think about it. It's a big riddle. We're not going to solve it now. But the Mice says Mishmura, but the Mashishim doesn't work so well because you're always hash for a lot of things. And then it's Chos Rene, and you don't have Shishim connected to all of them. That you're going to mess up. Not for not that Tera doesn't work so well because the Prechadish and the Groh don't like it. Says Mishmura, we are not somech on this. He says it's not in the Gemara, it's just suggested by some Rishonim. The Gra says we're not really somech on it, we don't know all the details, we never heard of this cloud. So he basically says we're not somech on 4. It's better not to be somech on 3 because the Gra and Pri Chadash question it based on Isura Bala. It's better not to be somech on 2 because then you'll end up kashering a lot of Kalim, or the next guy will kasher some extra Kalim and you'll end up having Chuzer Reneir. Therefore, you should always go with 1. That is at least among Ashkenazim, the minute Pesach all year long, all circumstances. The basic rule is never kasher a Kli till 24 hours after it was used. If it's a Shas Tzadchak, then you have to analyze it. But in normal circumstances, you go to any Haggadah center, they'll tell you, we don't accept any candle unless they haven't been used for 24 hours. That is the way everyone does things. If it's a Shas of Chag, then you have to analyze.
Use them cold doesn't count.
Use them cold doesn't count, but if you use them cold and wash them hot, then it does. Okay. So, now there's another Madriga, though. The last Madriga I want to point out is it's a little unclear. The Mechaber says you don't have to worry about all these things. Most people say it means you need one of these options. But you could read the Mechaber to mean you need to worry about all the options at the same time, not or. And the Ramah says, you have to worry about all the things. Pashas, it means one of the options, but maybe it means all the options. The Mishavura says to the Brahm, there's Din, there's Minhag, and there's the Minhag Lahachmir. The Minhag Lahachmir of the Achronim is Lahachmir Kol Hachumros. To do all the strategies you can, to be machmer all the chumras together, just to be on the safe side to the chumra de Pesach. This is clearly chumra de Pesach. Lechatchila. Lechatchila or machmer kol achumras. Now, within kol achumras, there's very different madregas. There's the normal way of being yotze all the chumras reasonably, and then there's some people who are yotze chumras crazily. We're not talking about crazy, just normal. Meaning, you should try, if possible, to be yotze all the chumras you can, just to the chumra de Pesach. Meaning, you should wait 24 hours and try to have 60 times the pot the clear pasturing if you can conveniently do it. You know, or at least each time, you know, have 60 times. Like if you could pasture in a very big pot or medium pot, pasture in the very big pot, so you'll have 60 times as much water. And even if you're not going to have 60 times everything together, try to at least have 60 times each individual clean. And do it for shachamishis, and try the best you can to leave things in for a medium amount of time. To kasher each kli separately, not like kalim with a lot of bliyah, kalim with a little bliyah, to keep the water boiling the whole time as much as you can, to try not to kasher part of the kli twice, if you can, and to kasher the kashering pot beforehand, and to kasher the kashering pot afterwards. That's the proper minutes, and we offer all the chumras, that's the shbur post mechron, it's a big chumra, but it's chumra to Pesach. So here we have three madregas. These are the original Din of Mechaber and Ramah, which was pretty makel, gave you many options, depending on what time it was. Then there's a real binding minhag of the Ramah and the Mishavur and the Achronim that you should just go with Eidah and Yomo. Then there's a Chumra minhag to try and be Macher as much as you can and try and do all the Chumras you can. And therefore, Lechachil wants to try and do all the Chumras possible. So only on Pesach. This would be binding all year long. That's only Chumra to Pesach.
That's not understandable because it's at Pesach. What does options 2, 3, and 4 add to option 1? Meaning like,
it's a great question. Chumra de Pesach.
But what are you adding? What disadvantage is there of option 1?
It's a great question. Option 1 seems to be ironclad. It's a great question. The only thing that some people suggest is because maybe option 1 is a chash of like, no sentam lefgam lechachila, we try to avoid it lechachila, that's very shvach. It's not clear, but that's the meaning of the, I don't know what the That's the minute of the Mishnah Berurah. Okay, I just want 5 more minutes to finish this siman. And first of all, there was a Ramah in the middle of Sif Aleph who misunderstood the Machaber. All the Achronim agreed he misunderstood the Machaber. Okay. Maybe if you want, you could say, he didn't misunderstand the Machaber, but in case you misunderstood the Machaber, he pretended to misunderstand the Machaber. He thought, remember when the Machaber said, oh, if you do it a day, you don't do the other options, then you have to make sure the water's always boiling. The Machaber just meant the water's always boiling, like doesn't go down for a second. But what does that mean? The Machaber says, but if you do it before Shachamishas, then if the water goes down for a second, it's okay. He misunderstood the Machaber and thought that the water could go down and you could totally kasher it water below the boiling point. That's not what the Machaber meant. The Machaber meant you kasher when it's boiling, and if it goes down for 1 second, it doesn't undo it. But he thought the Machaber meant you could kasher in water that's 80 degrees Celsius instead of 100. Therefore, he says, everyone agrees with this. Hagola doesn't work if the water's not boiling. 80, 90, 93 degrees is not enough. It has to be 100 degrees. Al Ken Yishazar, the Machaber, the Ramah in the middle of Aleph. Al Ken Yishazar, the Lakotas Mani Sur, Shalini Nukum Tikhosin, Kosman Shemagel. Therefore, you have to be careful that it's boiling the whole time you're doing Hagola. This is a misunderstanding. He thought the Machaber says you can actually do Hagola, put it in 80 degrees, take it out 80 degrees, and you don't be boiling at all. That's not what the Machaber meant. And therefore, he says, no, it has to be boiling when you do Hagola. This is what we pass has to be boiling when you do Hagola. The Mishnah Berurah points out a problem in his days that's still a problem in our days. You have big Hagola centers, they boil the water, or you have people who do Hagola in the house, they boil the water, and then they dump, they kasher a lot of kalim really quick, and it cools off the water. And they don't realize, every time you kasher, you cool off the water a little, you have to make sure that it's still boiling. Sometimes you have to wait for it to reboil. So you have to keep the flame on the highest, and as you kasher, make sure that it's still boiling the whole time, because people aren't careful, they just look and say, it's boiling, let me kasher 100 things. By the 8th thing, it's now cooled off, they keep putting in cold things. And the last 92 things aren't kosher. So you have to be very nizzar. He says it's a problem. When you have kids in charge of Haggadah centers, they make everyone eat improper things on Pesach. You have to be very nizzar that it stays boiling when you're kosher. Again, if it dips for 1 second, that's okay. You just put it back in when it's boiling again. But you have to be very nizzar that it stays boiling the whole time. Okay, quickly, Gimel. You can't dump a lot of kelim into a big tray or bowl and kosher them together. And no gim zev zev, they're touching each other. Why? Because of the idea of like chatzitza. It's not the din of chatzitza, but it's the same idea. Basically, if you put a lot of plates on each other, they'll block the water from coming in where the plates are resting on each other. So the plates are heavy, they rest on each other, and the water has to get to all places of the kli. Therefore, you can't put a lot of heavy kelim on top of each other and do hagala for the same reason you can't total them that way. Because the water won't get to touch every part of the kli. Dalit is a corollary. This, in my
opinion,
so if you do that, you have to like shake them a little to make sure that the water gets to all of them. You can't just leave them that way. Yeah, you can dump all the silverware in the basket and shake it a lot to make sure the water gets to all parts of all the silverware. Dalit. It's probably even more mahudr to like put them in one at a time. You can even put the basket and then just drop them in one at a time. They'll get kashered as they float into the basket. In Magal Bitzvot, if you hold them with tongs and kasher it, it's the same problem. Where you're holding with the tongs, the water won't get there. Therefore, you galgalakli, you have to like be very skillful and like release it a little and like turn the kli, rotate the kli in the tongs so that every part of the kli touches the water. Remember, it's not like toveling. In toveling, the whole kli has to touch the water at once. In kashering, it's okay as long as the whole kli touches the water eventually. If not, then where you're holding with the tongs, the water, the power of the water won't get there. And the Taz points out, but then you're going to capture the same part of the kli twice as you rotate it and hold it in for too long. So therefore, it's more mahudr to not use tongs, to just use a basket, and then you could shake the basket loosely and make sure the water goes all over your kelim. You can't use chamei tveria, the hot springs of tveria, afilu kelim shayim kli sheni, even the kasher kli sheni. Why? The sheni told us ha'or. Because chamei tveria don't come from a fire. And one of the rules of Kabbalah Kapolto, even if I don't understand the science behind it, is that something which is absorbed through things heated by a fire needs to use things heated by a fire, not hot springs. Yes. If since our kelim were boleya through things that came from a fire, heat that came from a fire, you have to use heat from a fire, not heat from hot springs. Okay.
Even if it's boiling.
However, if you only use to cook in the hot springs, then you can kasher with hot springs. I mean, that's not a common scenario. Ve'en magil mishum mashke mak ma'at. You're not allowed to use other liquids for kashering, only water. Mi'u b'di'eved ma'ani yagol l'chol mashke. However, b'di'eved, if you kasher with other liquids, that is good enough. This is a big shaila nowadays. Sometimes in industrial kashrus, it's a big issue that, let me point out one thing about the Chamei Tveria. I apologize, it's important to know. You also can't kasher with water from a Dud Shemesh, because that's not Tolda Zohar, does it? For fire comes from the sun. You also can't kasher with water from a microwave that was boiled in a microwave. That's not Tolda Zohar. You have to kasher with water that was heated by a fire, meaning a hot metal or a gas flame. You can't kasher with water from a microwave, from a Dud Shemesh, or from Chamei Tveria, because even if I don't understand the science behind it, it's not Tolda Zohar.
With a microwave, though, I mean...
Things that were bolam through a microwave
right,
and kosher.
But shouldn't that also produce coolants?
No, because we're both ways on microwaves, perhaps. Okay, not for now. Says the Iris Moshe, by the way. Says the Iris Moshe, if you're stuck, let's say you have a factory, you can't kosher it to water. Somehow water is bad for it. You can only use other liquids. Then... It's like with the oven, you can kasher with other liquids. However, says Rav Moshe, that's only water-based liquids. Because water-based liquids are liquids that are like water, like wine and milk and juice. However, Moshe says, oils and fats and chocolates, he is not makel on. Some people will kasher treif chocolate factory with boiling chocolate. Rav Moshe says, no, even with the oven, that doesn't work. Because that's not a liquid, that's chocolate. And likewise, you can't kasher with treif schmaltz. He's even choshish not to kasher with treif oil. Rav Moshe says the heter here, that with other liquids, is good enough. He likes to restrict to water-based liquids. However, in some cases, there's other sudden l'hakel, he's more mekel. Ayin sham and nigras Moshe, chelik aleph simin samach, and chelik bay simin mem aleph, not for now. Okay, but this is a big issue in industrial kasherus. Kasher with other liquids. It starts with this. Rav Moshe says b'dievet is okay. Shasat chak is like b'dievet. But the $64,000 question is, which liquids are these other liquids, and which liquids are even worse than other liquids?
What is an example of something
they
would do?
Chocolate. A lot of places, they kasher treif chocolate factories with boiling chocolate.
Why would you have treif chocolate?
The chalav akum or other ingredients, fine. I have no idea. Okay, right. Imagal harbi kelim b'yorach, moro plates akil nasa and katsir, ein lahagal og bosar amayim. If you kasher so many kelim, and like probably wooden and cheres kelim that have a lot of blios, and the water turns into gravy because of all the blios, now it's not water anymore, it's gravy, and you can't use it anymore, you have to spill it out and put in new water. Vav, kli gadol, I think Noah asked, how do you kasher your biggest pot? Like your kasher pot. Oh, sorry, okay. Justin asked, how do you kasher your biggest pot? So this is before Shmar at the end of Odazara. I think Shmar Okfu thought of this. Your biggest pot that you can't fit into another pot, Machlus Golos, it's too big. How do you kasher it? So you boil up the water. But how do you get it up to the top? You fill it up to the top. But how do you get the rim? Right? How do you get the rim of the pot? That's the tricky part, right? You can fill it up and boil it, but how do you get the rim? So the answer is, Osa Safa Lefiv Betit Kadesh Yishmali Heitev Yigumayim Yisvaso Malomayim Marticho. Two options. One option is, that's the option that no one does nowadays because we don't think it's so convenient to make things out of cement as they did, is that here's your pot. You
make an extra rim.
Right. Here's your pot. You build an extra rim out of cement, like all the way around, like this. And then you fill it up with water up to here, and it covers even the rim of the pot because it's held by that cement rim. Okay, nowadays we'd never build cement rooms around our pots. What would we do? The second option. Or you just fill it up to the top normally. It goes to the top like here, and you boil it. But how do you get the rim? Like, how do you get this area? What? So you pour it out one side. You can't pour it out all the sides.
You could rotate it.
Maybe it's not as practical.
Why can't you just flip it over and do it twice, like
I don't know. Maybe you won't really get all the sides. It might be hard to keep track and make sure you got them all.
You'll actually flip it.
All right. I know it's a good question. Lemaisa, but it's 520. Lemaisa says, the Gemara says, it says there are two options. You basically take something, now you might just say, oh, just put a measuring cup in there and push it down and the water will flow over and overflow. No, that doesn't work. So you put something cold in it, it cools off the water. So you have to put something hot in it, like a burning hot brick or stone or a torch. You put something burning hot in it, and it doesn't cool off the water, it's overflow, and shalom al Yisrael.
But hold on a second. I mean, if the water is boiling hot, it's not, that's not
going to happen. No, it doesn't matter. You don't want it to be even a drop colder. So nowadays, the postkin said, for those of us who are not used to hot stones, they came up with other clever options. A, if you cover your pot, often it will boil over by itself very well. And B, they say, throw a pinch of baking, kosher Pesach, baking soda or powder, I forget. But one of those, like as a chemical thing, it just makes it overflow. So that's another option the modern day post can give based on modern chemistry.
That's legit. You can put, the same way you're able to put more than one pot in the make it at the same time. So what you could do is you could put another pot within it, and then it'll overflow, and then come on Israel.
Well, maybe you keep that pot there so it gets hot first. Okay, maybe. Okay, but these are the what they normally say. No, again, lishna b'kliv ma'im karmah for a gola miyad. Ah, the minig is, this is a very important minig, it's lechatchila, it's not ba'aki. It's important to know the right way to do things, lechatchila. The minig is that after you do hagola in hot water, you rinse it off in cold water. There are two deos as to where that minhag, One day is it's just a minhag because in the Beis HaMikdash, Lorak Yishuta B'mayim, there's a day in the Gemara that says you have to tasher and then rinse in the cold water, the ritual of the Beis HaMikdash. So we have the minhag also to rinse in cold water. However, Rashi says it's not a minhag. It's really a chumrah in din. What's the chumrah in din? Because you want to be able to all the chumras and you want to say maybe while it was sending out the taste it didn't absorb, but as soon as you take it out of the pot, it's no longer expelling taste. And it has some hot water on it, so it might reabsorb. So you rinse it in cold water right away to make sure it doesn't reabsorb. So whether it's just a minhag like in the Beis HaMikdash, or it's a chumrah based on din to make sure it doesn't reabsorb the tchametz, the taste from the hot water, that's the minhag. The minhag is to rinse it in cold water afterwards. And therefore, if you have something which would break if you put it in cold water, which usually is only glass, which we don't kosher anyway, so it's not a big deal. But if something would break with cold water, you don't have cold water, for whatever strange reason, then it's not me'akiv. Okay, that's Hilchos Hashaaras. Hail Shreyer, everyone, for sticking through all the extra shiurim, and I apologize if you didn't have time to be honest.